ladies and gentlemen, to the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Wednesday afternoon. It's been a big day of guests here at InfoWars. Mike Benz in studio, Leonardo Joni in studio, as well as Savannah Hernandez chiming in. We're going to continue that tradition. We're going to have Leonardo Joni in studio with us today. We're going to try to get Mike Benz on for tomorrow. We've had some scheduling difficulties. We have a hell of a lot to talk about today. It's going to be a very big show. We'll begin today, as we do every day, with our Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Wednesday, the 22nd of October, 2025. America takes center stage in show of diplomatic power in Israel. J.D. Vance is there in Israel to try to shore up some of the ceasefire arrangements. Marco Rubio will be there this Friday as we continue to pay homage to our lords and saviors. It's interesting. It's pretty interesting. He says this is difficult. It's not going to happen overnight. Some of these hostages are buried under thousands of pounds of rubble. Some of the hostages, nobody even knows where they are. Asked if this was a direct result of Israel's actions on Sunday, dropping something like 1,500 tons of ammunition onto Gaza. Vance said that, no, it has nothing to do with the events of the last 48 hours. Many will remain dubious. This is his first visit to Israel as vice president, and if the timing really was coincidental, it was very fortuitous. So we continue to send people to Israel to make sure the ceasefire goes as planned, although a lot of different factions are doing everything they can to destroy peace in the region. Meanwhile, major story today, a lot of lefties are very confused and very pissed off. White House expands East Wing demolition as critics decry Trump overreach. Yes, folks, he's tearing down the White House, and the Democrats are furious about this. Of course, a little inconsistent, considering the fact that one of their, you know, primary pillars of their party is genuinely, literally tearing down American history, tearing down statues, melting them into some sort of grotesque abomination, mockery of the beautiful art they once were. Yeah, the very same people that called Trump a Nazi for going out and walking around with the Bible after lefties tried to burn down a historic church across the street from the White House, they're furious that Trump is doing renovations on the White House. Now, in reality, as provided by Geiger Capital on X, Teddy Roosevelt built the West Wing. Taft made the executive office oval. FDR added the entire East Wing and included an indoor pool for himself. Truman gutted the entire White House. Nixon added a bowling alley. Obama added a basketball court. And Trump is building a ballroom. Only one of these is being decried as treason by the left, and it's because they have nothing. If you're getting this mad about a room of the White House being redesigned, it means you don't have anything to actually be mad at. So there's that. We'll get back to that later. Meanwhile, Luigi Mangione apparently got beaten up by 7 ladyboys in Thailand months before United Healthcare CEO shooting. And I don't know if I have anything to add to that. And I think that that is just fascinating. Totally fascinating. Meanwhile, U.S. military strikes boat in Pacific in apparent expansion of campaign against alleged drug trafficking. U.S. military conducted a lethal strike against a boat in the eastern Pacific on Tuesday, killing both people on board, according to Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth. The strike on the vessel in the Pacific, the 8th known strike by the U.S. military on alleged drug smuggling vessels since the start of September, appears to mark an expansion of the U.S. military campaign, with all 7 previous strikes targeting boats in the Caribbean Sea. At least 34 people in total have been killed in the 8 strikes. And, yeah, I'm against this. I sort of was going, well, you know, he's allowed to do things. This is war, then I guess. But the more that this happens, the less I like it. The more this happens, the more I'm against it. So I'd say let's stop drone striking the not convicted foreigners in boats. Let's stop doing that. I feel like not even it's the people in the boat that I care that much about, but it's setting a precedent I find frankly terrifying. Finally, we have this. North Carolina lawmakers pass new map designed to give GOP an extra House seat. Oh, look, it's the consequences of the left's actions biting them in the ass once again. You wanted this fight. You got it. We're going to win it. So good. It's good to see Republicans actually fighting back in a tangible way. And that's your Daily Dispatch brought to you, of course, by TheAlexJonesStore.com. And we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, Chase. Good to talk to you again. I wanted to do a quick plug on the methylene blue, on the long-term effects that it had on me. Back in 2020, I got COVID. My brother and my dad both have eczema. After I got COVID, it must have, it opened that dormant cell in my body or whatever. So I've been dealing with eczema ever since 2020. And the long-term effects of the methylene blue, 99% gone.
That's absolutely incredible. I'm so happy. Have your relatives tried it too to see the same effect?
I have been trying to get my brother to take it and he's skeptical, but I'll tell you what, I got 4 bottles sitting on my table. I think I'm just going to give him one. And I think if I just give it to him, I think he'll eventually try it.
Yeah, that's a good move.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Annihilate.
That's right, folks. This is The War Room. I am your host, Harrison Smith. We got a very big show for you today. We'll be joined next hour by Leonardo Joni. I'm trying to take your calls in the third hour. I got 60 videos I put in today's show folder. And it's really just across the board. We've got Ted Cruz talking at some pro-Israel organization. And, you know, it's got to just be exhausting. It's got to be exhausting to be a GOP representative. And it's like you wake up in the morning and it's like breakfast with your AIPAC handler and then, you know, lunch with the Jewish News Syndicate. You're giving a speech at, you know, whatever this kooky organization is at night. Then you got to be on a plane to be kissing the wall by the morning. I mean, it's got to be exhausting doing so much for foreigners. It's really amazing. He's saying all sorts of insane stuff, Ted Cruz, as well as Christian pastors telling us that Jews are uniquely loved by God over even Christians. And it's just like, what is this crazy new religion? So all sorts of videos from that, about that from last night. Nick Sortor has come out with a bunch of crazy videos from Antifa, some videos that are just hilarious on the face of them, some that are harrowing and terrifying on the face of them. What's happening in Ireland is completely insane and fantastic, as far as I'm concerned. The locals in Ireland rising up and fighting back against the deliberate replacement of their population with hostile foreigners after the rape of a 10-year-old girl by an African migrant in Dublin. And I want to get into that with Leonardo Joni because I know she's been keeping up on that. I also want to get into what's happening with Tommy Robinson. He's on a big Israel Hezbollah trip, and it ain't going the way that they're expecting it to. And I keep seeing this phenomenon crop up over and over and over again. The people whose careers have largely been built being pro-Israel are really feeling the pressure, man. It is something to behold. Obviously, Charlie Kirk is sort of the prime example. People talking about this and the pressure he was feeling, the frustration he was feeling with some of his donors. But then, of course, you have Tucker Carlson. They've got their knives out for him, knives out for Candace Owens. Now it's knives out for Matt Walsh because he refuses to condemn a bunch of young Republicans using spicy language. Tommy Robinson has been condemned by the Israeli parliament, condemned by the Knesset, despite him doing a frankly humiliating propaganda tour on their behalf. It's like you guys got to pump the brakes a little bit. You get that? Like, for your own good, you got to pump the brakes. And it's like they're lashing out at their biggest supporters because they're just frustrated and angry that they don't control the narrative anymore. And it's not going to work, guys. We'll get into that a little bit more later as well. I'm telling you, I just have too much to talk about here. But let's go to this video of Nick Sortor. This has been kind of my favorite video out of a lot of the stuff that Nick Sortor has captured being on the streets of Portland fighting Antifa, literally getting in fights with Antifa. He got the first known video inside the Antifa safe house located feet from ICE, Portland, catching leftist militants unmasked. And it's clip number one here. And this is the safe house, you remember, when the woman who attacked Katie Davis Court, she had the black eye when she was at the White House, and she'd been attacked and hit in the face with a metal rod by this woman who she followed for like 30 minutes with a cop going, will you arrest this woman? She assaulted me. They don't do anything, and the woman escapes into this so-called Antifa safe house. Well, Nick Sartor captured footage inside the Antifa safe house, and I just, there's something about it. Clearly, they accidentally left the door open, and it's almost like cartoonish the way that they react, that they notice that they're being filmed, and it's just the most guilty jump you've ever seen. I don't know why I find this video hilarious. Let's go to clip number one here. This is from Nick Sartor inside the Antifa safe house across the street from the Portland ICE facility. There's a lot of the stuff there. This is the actual building with the Palestine flag. Somebody's left the door propped open. So Nick sort of wanders over, peeks in. There you see one of the goblins. Oh, she... Her mouth falls open, and she scurries over to shut the door. I don't know why I cracked up, but then they can peer through the window, and then they're like, oh, crap. And they scramble to cover that up. People keep, they look at the camera and realize that their face is seen, so they pull their mask up.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, he's being all intimidating. I'm telling you, folks, if you've ever been...
I'm just checking it out. I'm on a public sidewalk.
Close
the window if you don't want to see in. There
it's honestly hilarious.
Yourself?
There was one time at... Austin at one point, it like took me a second. I was filming these Antifa people and it took me a second to realize like, oh, you're trying to like look tough, right? You're trying to like intimidate me. They're like glaring at me and like one of them had a gun. They're like walking up to me and I'm just like filming them like, look at these idiots. It's not intimidating. It's really not intimidating when these black clad communists try to intimidate you. It just doesn't work. It doesn't really work. So that's the first view inside the fetid, stinking chamber of Antifa. Well done, Nick Sartor, who's getting a ton of great footage. And, of course, a lot of this is being very dishonestly portrayed by the people in media, as if that, you know, is even a question at this point. But there is some interesting back and forths taking place. So, first of all, Democrats are just, I mean, there are certain things happening right now that it's like, why are we waiting? I see this with the Civil War that's brewing. I see it also with things like AI. Like, it's very weird that we have innumerable examples of like sci-fi fantasy about AI, and every time it always takes the same path. It's always humans discover AI, AI takes over, humans have to fight it, and eventually settle on some sort of standard where you don't have thinking machines or you don't have AI anymore because it's so dangerous. It's like, okay, if we can play this out in our heads, and every time we run the simulation in our internal computer, it comes out with the same conclusion, can we not just act on that? Can we not just go, okay, let's avoid that middle section, right? Start discovering AI. Ends with AI being sublimated to human intelligence and not given ultimate power. But then there's that middle section of the chaos and the war and the AI takeover and the dystopia and the hellish conditions. What if we skip over all of that because we can foresee it and therefore avoid it? Let's just implement some controls of AI before having to learn our lesson. I feel like there's a lot of stuff like that. When it comes to the brewing civil war in this country, what are we waiting for? What are we waiting for exactly? I've got videos from today from Nick Sartor and others in Portland, the Portland police, doing everything they can to actually help Antifa. They are on the side of Antifa. They're taking images from Antifa to try to dox ICE agents for, I guess, later prosecution. They're protecting Antifa as Antifa uses spotlights to blind the Portland ICE agents. I mean, they are acting like an enemy faction inside our country, using our resources to fight our own soldiers. Like, this is a civil war. Now you've got the Democrats in office who are launching a master ICE tracker to help maniac leftists hunt down federal officers and illegal aliens dodge deportation. This is the headline from Infowars.com. So the left already created these apps to identify and track down and monitor ICE agents for the sole purpose of avoiding law enforcement, which in and of itself is a crime. So why, again, how they get away with this is inexplicable. But, you know, the Apple App Store was eventually forced to take down, you know, at least one of the apps that was used by one of the people who actually killed two people, or at least shot two detainees as he tried to assassinate ICE officers. And so, you know, after the attempted assassinations, they agreed to take those apps down. So now the Democrats in power are actually doing it instead. And I've got more footage from today of more Democrats once again telling us in no uncertain terms, once Democrats get back in power, they're going to make, you know, the last 5 years look like a cakewalk, look like a picnic, because they're going to be tyrannical. It's like, okay, we've got the Democrats pledging, promising to be tyrannical if they ever get back in power. You've got foot soldiers actively, viciously, and in militaristic fashion attacking ICE officers all across the country. You've got politicians in those areas collaborating with the criminals. You've got Democrats in office in California helping to identify the ICE agents that they want to murder. And it's like, okay, at what point do we respond in kind? At what point, like, what point are we waiting for? What are we waiting for exactly? Is there any other path this can take? We're just waiting for the Democrats to one day go, you know what, that whole illegal immigrant thing is kind of stupid. Let's not do that anymore. Like, what are we waiting for? We know where this goes. The longer we wait to deal with it, the harder the situation is going to be to deal with. Why don't we just interfere now? Interdict right now. Stop it from progressing any farther. I don't think it'd be that hard. You throw the people in prison that are doing all of this crap. Very simple, actually. They won't do that. And God, I cannot figure out why. Same thing when it comes to, you know, Ireland and the UK. It's like, you know, you have to act now. You should have been acting 5 years ago. You have to act now, because the longer you wait, the harder it's going to be to act. Every day you delay is another 1,000 enemy soldiers recruited, brought in, and given a place to stay. Every day your money's worth less. Every day there's more of your enemies, stronger. Like, you have to act and act aggressively right off the bat. Otherwise, it's not that there's a foregone conclusion one way or another. It's just our eventual victory will be that much more difficult to achieve. What are we waiting for? Honestly. How do you not? And you don't have to write new laws. You don't have to change the construct of our government. We don't have to reorganize into an empire. Although I'm open to the suggestion, okay? I'm open to some Augustan reforms, if you will. But you don't have to do any of that. The laws are on the books. They just don't get enforced. We showed them to you yesterday. I can pull them up again. 10 years in prison is the allotted punishment for people who bring in illegal immigrants and have them employed. If you employ an illegal immigrant, you should be in jail for 10 years. That's what the statutes on the law books say. Why are we not enforcing that? If you encourage illegal immigrants to come across, if you help them in their attempts to stay here illegally, 5 years in prison is the punishment that's allotted for that in the official U.S. code. Why are we not just enforcing this crap? I don't know. I don't know why, but here I am again. It just feels like, you know, it's just this, I'm in this Twilight Zone Groundhog Day situation where every day I have to report on a burning house, and every day I say, have you tried water? No? Okay. Well, we'll see you tomorrow then when the house is still burning. Talk about all the other stuff that you're doing. That's not just spraying water on the fire to put it out. That's all that we need. So every day I have to get up here. Every day I have to come up here and talk about more problems that are just infinitely simple to solve with the laws we have on the books. Okay? This is me, but I'm just incredibly frustrated, and also there's no hoses attached to the fire hydrants. That would be the difference. As I'm sitting there going, there's a fire hydrant there. You've got hoses there. Attach the hose to the fire hydrant. Spray the water on the fire. What are we doing? And instead, they're sitting there going, there's a lot of fire, you guys. I don't know if it's so smart. Start spraying water on it. Let's figure this out. We'll do an investigation. We'll do an investigation into the metaphysical reality of fire. I mean, what is it? Is it alive? Would we be killing a living thing by putting out that fire? Let's see, it consumes things. It grows and reproduces. Maybe fire is a living organism, and we have to consider it, the rights that it has. I'm just like, all right, well, your house is now burned to cinders. So I tried to help. We tried to tell you what the answer is. You just won't do it. I'll just keep telling people the obvious. Get the war room. This is now Captain Obvious's idiot table, and I'm here to tell you the obvious solution to all of the problems. Crime, throw criminals in prison. Done. Immigration, deport the immigrants. Done. It's like, okay, all right. Democrats actually creating an app to allow leftist radicals to hunt down ICE people. It's just, it's absurd. It's insane. They're just doing this because nobody stops them. Let's watch. Do you have that video? I thought you guys just pulled it up. No? I don't know. You guys just had it pulled up. We'll find it in just a second. This is the problem. I literally have 60 videos. Glass bottles be throwing at police. Tommy Robinson being humiliated. A doctor being arrested in the UK for saying she doesn't like Israel. More Irish mob stuff. Let's see. We got Pritzker claiming that they aren't for open borders. Sorry, now I'm just getting distracted by all of the ridiculous insanity. Maybe I didn't even drag it in. Maybe I didn't even pull in the video. Maybe we have so many videos and I don't even have that one. So, my bad. Here's a story from Infowars.com. Democrats launching Master ICE Tracker to help maniac leftists hunt down federal officers and illegal aliens dodge deportation. Democrat politicians on Tuesday announced a Master ICE Tracker application on their Oversight Committee website for people to monitor the whereabouts of federal agents, which will allow illegals to avoid deportation and violent leftists to attack officers. Joined by Democrat Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass, Congressman Robert Garcia said the tool will be available in the next couple of weeks. Attorney General Pam Bondi posted about the announcement on X this week, writing, "Shutdown Democrats are already refusing to pay our law enforcement agents. Now, Representative Robert Garcia and Senator Blumenthal are trying to put ICE agents at risk just for doing their jobs. The Justice Department has zero tolerance for violence against law enforcement. We will prosecute any person who physically assaults our agents." Well, why don't you go after these guys? Popular X account Libs of TikTok accurately pointed out ICE is facing over 1,000% increase in violence against ICE. And these people are making an app to provide the whereabouts of ICE so that illegals can avoid arrest and our ICE officers can be put in even greater danger. Okay, I think we might need to have a little sit down, a little talking to with old Miss Pam Bondi about what zero tolerance means. She put zero tolerance in all caps. Okay, if you're allowing state senators from California to create an app for your enemies to target ICE with assault, you shouldn't tolerate that. If you're tolerating that, that doesn't mean zero tolerance. That means a very, very wide range of tolerance. Really, this is like, I don't know, what's the opposite of zero tolerance? Basically, you're willing to tolerate everything except for something that you like literally cannot tolerate. You're going to tolerate the spotlights being shined in their faces. You're going to tolerate the, you know, buildings being destroyed. You're going to tolerate the Democrats, you know, calling them Gestapo and Nazis. You're going to tolerate the local police working with the corrupt Democrats to identify ICE agents for later prosecution. You're going to allow, you know, helicopters to have lasers shined at them. The only thing you're not standing for is when ICE agents are physically attacked, you'll arrest the person physically attacking them. Okay, that's not zero tolerance. That is maximum tolerance. Zero tolerance would be everybody involved in this or this project is arrested immediately on any number of charges, RICO charges even. See the water? Put it on the fire. That's how simple it is. Let's go to the video.
I shared this with the mayor. Over the course of the next couple of weeks, the Oversight Committee will be launching on their website a master ICE tracker where we're going to be essentially tracking every single instance that we can verify that the community will be able to send us information on.
You know, it's just like, Why are they doing this? Well, why wouldn't they? Why wouldn't they do this? What's going to happen to them? Nothing? Great. Of course they're going to do it. Like, you have to stop them. Well, what are we doing here? It's just absurd. It is insane. Of course, if you were watching the Alex Jones Show earlier today, you saw Savannah Hernandez on there. I was talking to her about this yesterday. It really is hilarious. I mean, the strangeness of the modern age. So yesterday at 10:42 a.m., October 21st, Savannah Hernandez tweets out, "You guys should check out Canal Street in New York City. There are easily 30 to 40 illegals there daily selling fake goods. Would be an easy sweep and send a strong message to the sanctuary city of New York." And then not 3 hours later, that's exactly what happened. I texted Savannah, like, you're kind of like a warlord now. Do you get that? Do you know that? You kind of are like a warlord. You kind of just pointed and said, get them. And then a bunch of heavily armed men obeyed your orders. Isn't that pretty crazy? So here she is actually documenting the Canal Street open air crime market. And I remember seeing this in Italy probably 10 years ago. And it was honestly a very funny, strange situation. I'm walking down the street in Florence and there's all these Africans with all these, you know, fake bags, Gucci bags and stuff, you know, either stolen or off brand, whatever. And this is what they do. So they have them all on blankets. And I remember I'm walking down the street and all of a sudden, I mean, they were there and then it was like you blink and they're gone. And so a cop car would pull up at the end of the alley and they would all, the reason they're all on blankets is they grab the corners of the blanket, scoop it up and just disappear. You know, like cockroaches when you turn the light on, like they're just gone into all the crevices. They just disappear. And I remember seeing that in Italy 10 years ago and thinking it was actually kind of funny, kind of funny seeing all these guys out there hawking their goods. And then they just vanish the instant a cop appears. They're just gone in an instant. So they've carried that tactic over to New York and are, you know, carrying out their illegal business there. So Savannah Hernandez yesterday tweets out, hey, maybe you should go after Canal. Then we go to clip number 14. This was later that day. Let's watch. There you go. ICE agents taking people down on Canal Street. A bunch of New York citizens getting involved and trying to fight the cops there and themselves getting arrested. Very funny stuff. Very cool stuff as far as I'm concerned. And in fact, when they looked at exactly who these people were, is it any surprise that almost all of them were repeat criminals who'd had orders to be deported for the last 20 years in some cases. Here are some of the aliens that were arrested. This is from Brianna Morello on X. They arrested 9 criminal aliens on Canal Street yesterday. Mamadou Ndoye, a criminal illegal alien from Mali, issued a final order of removal by an immigration judge in 2008. Was previously arrested for crimes including assault, reckless endangerment, counterfeiting to the third degree, unauthorized use of motor vehicle, criminal sale of narcotics, possessing a controlled substance, possessing a marijuana for sale, making false reports to law enforcement, and resisting arrest. Mohamed Ndaye, a criminal illegal alien from Senegal, previously arrested for domestic violence, robbery, stolen goods. Idi Sarr, a criminal alien from Senegal as well. Modu Mpap, not even kidding, another illegal criminal. You just got a bunch of illegal criminal aliens hawking stolen goods on the streets of New York. Not anymore. Thanks to Savannah Hernandez.
I've been told for years to get bovine colostrum. It's the milk that a mammal produces as a cow in the first 2 weeks. It's the natural vaccine. It's super nutrients. It's growth factor. It's anti-cancer. It's everything. Ask ChatGPT what it's known to do. Upper respiratory tract infections and symptoms reduction. Attenuation of exercise-induced immune suppression. Antiviral and antibacterial effects. Stopping leaky gut. Support for gastrointestinal disorders, which is the whole body. Enhanced recovery and reduced inflammation. Metabolic health, wound healing, and tissue repair. It goes on and on. And we have the non-pasteurized, super concentrated. It is incredible. Get your bovine colostrum. The first run sold out quick. Back in stock And when you buy bovine colostrum, the highest quality at theoxygenstore.com right now, you get 50% off on all the other supplements. The methylene blue, the Irish sea moss, the Shilajit, the ultimate life force, all of it. 50% off right now when you get bovine colostrum back in stock at theyellowshowstore.com, and it funds the Second American Revolution worldwide. Now, I was out at dinner a few weeks ago after my dad had heart surgery, and my mom and my dad were ranting and raving about how great the bovine colostrum was they got. The last run sold out, but it's now back in stock for only a few days. If you buy it, already discounted, any other supplement, Ultra Methylene Blue, the Shilajit, the Spike Protein Detox, Ultimate Life Force, they're all 50% off any other supplement when you get the bovine colostrum. It's so incredible. It's back in stock. Here's my parents at dinner. But, Mom, you were literally without me soliciting. You've been on colostrum now 2 months. And we have the very best at theoxygenstore.com. And I'm serious. I didn't bring this up.
Tell us what happened. Tell us what happened. I have been on the colostrum for about 2 or 3 months. And a back problem that I've had since Alex was born is almost completely gone after 50, however many years. And my hair is much thicker than it has been. And I have good hair anyway, but it's much thicker. And this... it's brand new.
It turned darker.
And darker. Beautiful.
So who's convinced you to take it? Steve Heinberg or something?
It was Mary Heinberg.
Yeah, they're really smart. They're listeners. So, Mom, you got to listen. The products are amazing.
Well, this one, like I said, I don't do testimonials. There's a lot of good products. But this is the first one that I can go, whoa, it really does work.
No, it's funny. I didn't even know the Heimbergs, I guess, because Steve and Mary, like a year ago, your house, like, you need to sell this. So we started, and we got the best brand. It's the strongest. It's no joke. The first 2 weeks of mammals, milk is totally different. It's like magic.
That back problem was from when you were born. I have a pinched nerve or something. I never really know what it was.
No, you can blame my whole life.
And it has bothered me. And I just go through the pain because if you're going to have it, you're going to have it, right? There's nothing to do about it.
Well, I haven't asked you this yet. Have you taken the methylene blue yet?
No, I'm scared of that.
Really?
I'm scared it'll make me like Roseanne Barr. Not that she's not wonderful. Just kidding.
You're afraid you'll be... though she came on the show like 6 months ago, and she said, I don't know if I can do it. She just felt sick. I gave it to her. She was bounced off the walls 30 minutes later.
How do you proportion this?
Well, you know, for some people, a generic supplement choice that's less, you know, radical than the methylene blue, which is incredibly powerful, might make more sense. Something like a methyl drive, a power plant, ultimate burn even. But especially if you're talking, talking about younger people, methylene blue is radically powerful.
Absolutely. And then we've got the beauty claims. Love you, Charlotte.
I think we're good.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Folks, this is the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. This is one of the instances of sort of the back and forth, and the interesting back and forth between the Antifa sympathizers, congenital liars in the mainstream media, and the brave, upstanding, modern knights of the Customs and Border Patrol. See, this was originally posted... I believe we'll go to clip 34 here. From Oregon Live, blind protester dragged detained by feds say agents picked the weakest person they could find. Oh my God, can you imagine if this was real? Can you imagine a world where such a thing even happened? Because you have to imagine it. It's not real. Didn't happen. Quinn Harborough believes his disability and diminutive stature are precisely why six federal agents descended upon him during a protest outside of the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement facility in South Portland last weekend and dragged him into the building. I think they wanted to make a point, said Haberl, who is 4'6" and legally blind. So they picked the weakest person they could find and made a big show out of it. Well, it is a show, and it's just one of these things. It's like, I don't mean to laugh, but it's like the dude is 4'6" and blind and tries to fight ICE agents. And then when he gets arrested, he's like, I can't believe they did this. It's because I'm short and fat, isn't it? Like, well, nobody said that, but you are. So maybe there's something to it. Maybe there's something to it. So they write this article saying that ICE, you know, they're out there just, I guess they're cowards. I guess what they're saying is ICE is cowards. And so they're only going after the weakest people they can find. So they're so scared of what the twinks and elderly hippies. They're scared of them, so they have to go after the weak person. And no, has nothing to do with it. So they write this article claiming that this person was targeted because they're blind and a midget. And so ICE responds, actually, here's a compilation of this person getting in the way, being in the street, committing crimes, attacking ICE officers, being an absolute and complete menace. But they do this knowing that he's a blind little fat guy. And that it's going to look bad if he gets arrested. Like, they literally play into this. They send out people with disabilities to be attacked because they want a sob story online. They do the same thing here in Austin. There's, like, celebrity Antifa people that are, like, in wheelchairs and will literally, like, roll up to riots and, like, knock themselves over. And then there'll be headlines where it's, like, disabled protester attacked. And it's just, like, it's just pathetic. It's all just utterly pathetic. Let's just watch the video. So this was posted by the Oregon Live. Oh my God, this poor innocent gremlin got arrested, and then ICE puts out this in response. There's a person fighting the ICE officers. The poor innocent, helpless person. There, the one that looks like a ball, the one that looks a little bit like a bowling ball with legs, giving the middle finger, and with the blind cane. I don't even know if this person's really blind, to be honest with you. I mean, the stuff they're doing is like, he's like pointing right at people. And like threatening to fight people. It's like, dude, you're blind. What are you talking about? So this was, some of the compilations, there he is again. This poor innocent person.
You have no idea how much I would like to beat
the... He's literally just like threatening people. The article's just like, they went after this blind man because he's the weakest one. Cut to a video of the blind man going, I will beat every one of you up. I will fight you. There he was, sitting on the ground, in the way, blocking the road, not allowed to, so he gets picked up and taken away and arrested. Sorry you keep committing crimes. Sorry you're putting yourself in the middle of a protest and refusing to leave when the police tell you it's illegal for you to be there any longer. It's just, you just can't believe any of this crap. Just nothing they say is true at all. And it's just unfortunate because you know the normies are just reading that. And like in their mind, literally it's ICE just out there like assaulting blind people and just like arresting children. Oh, look, they put them on a cart. That's nice. That's so nice. They put him on a little cart. They could have just rolled him. They could just put him on his side and roll him like Veruca from Willy Wonka. That would have worked too. Folks, Brian Stelter has been arrested. Brian Stelter, this is the footage of him being arrested by ICE. Absolutely tragic. You can hear him protesting it. But I'm famous. But guys, I used to be on CNN. Can't arrest me. Shut up, idiots. National Guard now. Portland police continue working with Antifa against federal agents. That's the headline from Infowars.com from Kellen McBreen. Journalists are exposing local law enforcement for cooperating with Antifa, which is exactly why National Guard is needed to protect DHS and ICE. Several videos out of Portland, Oregon this week exposed Portland Police Department's failure to assist DHS and ICE officers in dealing with violent Antifa extremists who are consistently trying to disrupt federal deportation efforts. Officers were filmed collaborating with Antifa radicals by accepting footage of DHS agents using pepper spray in order to launch investigations and potentially prosecute officers for their actions. And Nick Sortor actually captured footage of this as well. Clip number 58. He posted this saying Portland police aren't just shielding Antifa. They're working with Antifa to try to legally go after DHS agents. Let's watch clip 58 now. So you go. Here's the Portland police liaison Antifa member. Apparently not knowing how to share images between iPhones and choosing instead to video the screen of somebody else's phone. Maybe the most criminal thing about this video, as far as I'm concerned. But yeah, they're actually working with Antifa. They're providing cover for Antifa. Yesterday we had the video. I don't know if I brought it in today, but Portland police are saying they're in a line. Antifa's behind them and using a giant spotlight to blind DHS. And Antifa's and the local police are just letting them do it. Journalist and Antifa expert Andy Ngo commented, I wish the Portland police put half the effort into helping victims of Antifa violence as they are assisting people who get pepper sprayed while attacking federal property or agents. Another video shows Antifa rioters arguing with Portland police officers about their medical gear being swept by law enforcement, with one cop groveling to the commies, who appears to be more in charge of the situation than the police are. Yeah, they kind of are, actually. Also during the Portland protest, an officer told a journalist that Antifa disruptors have a First Amendment right to block public streets. We actually have that video. Again, I believe this was from Nick Sortor, if I'm not mistaken. And yeah, it's that same police liaison that we just saw taking pictures of somebody else's phone in order to try to criminally charge DHS for literally just doing their job. Antifa run. Yeah, here's the video from yesterday. There's the police standing in front of Antifa as they use a high-powered flashlight to blind the DHS officers. And it honestly just goes on and on and on and on and on. Sortor joined Fox News' Ingermangle, where he broke how Antifa and Portland Police Alliance has put federal agents in danger. Have they considered spraying water on the fire yet? I mean, what we're seeing here are scenes of out-of-control fire. Have we tried spraying water? Water, in this case, would be police forces to arrest these people and their collaborators in the local government. So why are we not doing that? Pulling federal funds from Portland would be an obvious thing. I mean, that's like the easiest thing to do. You can just do that immediately. And that would solve a hell of a lot of problems. I mean, the number of levers that Trump has to pull to fix this is, they're innumerable, and we just won't do it for some reason because some judge says that a fence is in violation of the First Amendment. You can't have a fence because that's in violation of the First Amendment. Not even kidding. By the way, I thought this was a good thing to remind everybody. From Arthur McWaters, keep in mind that instituting a three-strike rule will eliminate about 50% of all crime. Think about that. Really think about it. We would more than half crime if we stopped letting people out after their third crime. It's not that hard. Your judges and DAs just despise you. At least half of the crime in America is committed by people who have over three convictions, usually many more. This in response to James Rayford, a Charlotte, North Carolina man who's been arrested 19 previous times, including for assaulting multiple government employees. He's just been arrested again for shooting a three-year-old child. He shot a three-year-old child. I know we covered this kind of ad nauseum, but every day there's more and more stories. Alex was referencing one earlier today about just the, again, endless amounts of crime that people are able to get away with. A 15-year-old arrested 111 times in his life, convicted of multiple violent felonies, and they just let him out again and again and again. And every single time they end up killing or seriously maiming somebody else. And I have a very reluctant I told you so, because during the No Kings rallies over the weekend, one of the most viral videos out of it was this goblin-esque woman. Some say Reuben-esque. I say goblin-esque. Putting a finger to her throat and pretending to be shot in the throat, mocking Charlie Kirk's death because she saw a TPUSA representative. And this was just part of like a lot of the videos from No Kings rally, where like I was genuinely just, I'm just not sure how to take this anymore. When you have videos of like grandfathers. Nice guys that you expect to help you tie your fishing line are out there just going, yeah, we need to kill the president, I think. Yeah, I've watched enough CNN. I'm pretty confident in saying my name is, you know, Jim Smith. I live in Wichita, and I think we should kill the president. It's just like, what do we do about that? I mean, this is genuine. I mean, we're in sort of uncharted waters at this point. That was just one of the many examples. And this example of the Goblin Woman, I said, you know, the problem is not necessarily that we have these freaks of nature, literal monsters walking around celebrating murder. It's the knowledge that she would not be punished by her school. And I said at the time, the school will probably make her out to be the victim. They'll close ranks. They won't fire her. They deleted all of their social media. And they are going to, you know, go to the ends of the earth to guarantee that absolutely no negative consequences come to this utterly despicable, heinous, vicious woman. And that's the real problem. Like, okay, having a person making these types of, you know, heinous statements or gestures, like, that doesn't break my brain. What breaks my brain is you have an entire school district who decides we have to go to the mat for her. Not only will they not condemn or fire her, they're like willing to suffer for her right to make violent threats at conservatives. I don't know what to do at this point. I don't know what to do at this point. When you have people like this out there, and they're supported by the entire system. So in a very bittersweet I told you so, a parent from Nathan Hale Elementary School in Chicago, where Lucy Martinez remains employed, just forwarded this email to us from the school principal, Ilez Gomez. The parent is livid that the school is making Martinez out to be the victim without even acknowledging her vile behavior. It's simple. Nathan Hale and Principal Ilez Gomez fire Lucy Martinez for mocking Charlie's murder and the attention will subside. We will cheer you on. She's failed life's pop quiz and has no business being around children. So here's the actual email. Dear Hale family and staff, safety continues to be my top priority, which is why I'm writing to follow up on a situation regarding social media posts that include potentially threatening language to a staff member. The Chicago Police Department is continuing to investigate this situation and will continue providing our school with extra support during arrival and dismissal until that investigation is complete. I know this has been an unsettling day for many in our school community, but I want to ensure everyone that learning is continuing to move forward on all students. For all students, our school day was uneventful and we look forward to welcoming all of our children back to class. I apologize if anybody had trouble getting through to our main office by phone today. Many calls were coming in from beyond our school community, but we hope that these will subside soon. In addition, our school's website and X account remain paused for now due to the use of inappropriate language by individuals not connected to Hale. These will be restored as soon as we feel it's in the best interest of our school community. I thank you for your support and will continue to keep you updated with regards to the investigation of this matter. Painting her as the victim, claiming that the threat, the real bad thing happening here is that people are mad that a school teacher of elementary children is out there making this gesture mocking Charlie Kirk's death. That's not a problem. That's not even an issue. That's not even mentioned. That didn't even happen as far as they're concerned. In their world, this nice, lovely woman simply went to a protest and now the school is receiving all of this hate and it can't possibly have a reason to exist. It can't possibly be a reaction to their behavior. It's happening to them. They're the victims. All they can do is try to bunker down and weather the storm. Because, you know, what else is there to do? Whereas you can have a gym teacher make an offhanded comment in private. Like, I'm not so sure men should be with women in the locker room. That seems a little weird to me. And school just, he's out on his ass. He doesn't have a retirement fund anymore. He's not allowed to work in any school district in America. The banks cancel his accounts. Every social media platform kicks him off. And they're just ready and eager, just like without anybody asking. They're out there going, you may have seen a video of one of our former employees making very heinous statements, but he has been relieved. And we have apologized and we've brought in counselors to help any students deal with the outcome of the hate that was put on display. Meanwhile, a woman making a we're going to shoot you in the neck gesture, mocking Charlie Kirk and threatening TPUSA employees. And the school just closes ranks. We got to take down the website, take down the Facebook, take down all communications, unplug the phone from the walls. We got to hire, you know, guards, community police to come in and protect the school. We're going to have psychiatrists, you know, here to help the children deal with the threat that our school is under. I mean, what do we do here? I mean, what do we do about this? Apparently the parents are livid. Are they? Nothing's happening. I think it's a good idea to probably call this school and say, just fire the lady. I think it's a good idea to use peaceful means to express your outrage to this school. And say, you got to fire this lady. That's it. Maybe protests. Maybe that's the next step. How are you going to let this stand? How are we going to let this stand? How many people have we seen fired? I mean, we saw people, we saw like women, like young girls kicked off of, you know, D1 track teams in California because they were in private singing along to a rap song and somebody overheard them say the word nigga. Yeah, you can say the word nigga in a rap song in private. Somebody overhears you and the school is just like, you're off the team. And the whole, actually, now that I'm thinking about it, they canceled the whole track program because of that. Y'all remember that? A university in California canceled an entire track program because one of the girls was heard saying the word nigga in private along with a rap song. And they apologize. They cancel the whole season, just ruin people's lives over it. Meanwhile, this woman going, we're going to kill you. We're going to shoot you in the neck like your hero, Charlie. And the school is just like, oh my God, we're receiving hate. What are we going to do? I don't know. I don't know what we do at this point. I think just standing up for ourselves would be a good start. And that's what I said about, remember the Cracker Barrel thing? That was good. That's the way we need to be. Does it really matter that a chain restaurant corporation removes an old man in a barrel from their logo? Ostensibly, no. In any normal situation, no. It wouldn't be that big of a deal. Wouldn't be something worthy of concern. You have to understand the atmosphere that we're in. You have to understand that the people doing this aren't just doing these things innocently. The person who redesigned the Cracker Barrel logo wanted to, like, you know, doesn't like the tradition, doesn't like the history, and wanted to eliminate it. So it's kind of like when a really weak person tries to punch you as hard as they can. It's like, okay, it doesn't hurt, but he tried to hurt you, but he wanted to hurt you, and that was the point. So you got to punch him back. And it's like, these symbolic things are important. These attacks against our symbols, even the Cracker Barrel logo, as unimportant as that is, it's worth to stand up and fight and go, no, we're not taking any of this. We're not taking any of it. We're not just going to roll our eyes and go, well, you know, the kid teaching my 6-year-old wants to kill him. Modern world, what are we going to do? Like, no, we have to stand up against this and we have to push. And we have to demand. Squeaky wheel gets the grease. If you let them do it, they'll keep doing it. If you don't respond, why would they stop? If you don't punish them, what inkling do they have? Because, again, I think people are kind of operating off this idea that, like, if you just let them know how upset they are, they'll realize and apologize or something. Are people still operating under that delusion? That you can just tell them, like, hey, guys, you know this really hurts our feelings. They'll look you in the eye and be like, why do you think we said it? Why do you think we did it? They know exactly what they're doing. Stop giving them the benefit of the doubt. Stop asking them to change. Impose yourself. Impose your demands. Don't be quiet. Don't be silent. Don't be congenial. Don't worry about what they think of you. They already hate you. They see your complicity is weakness. They aren't appreciative. Do you think any of these people are appreciative? You know, this sort of goes to the heart of this conflict over Matt Walsh and Mehdi Hassan. Now, Matt Walsh has gotten the ire of the Zionist right recently because he says he refused to throw right-wingers under the bus for saying anti-Semitic things or racist jokes, which is exactly the right position to hold. But I think maybe they've given up a little bit on Tucker Carlson. I mean, they still hate him, but I'm not seeing nearly a number of Tucker Carlson posts on my ex on a daily basis. So they moved on to Matt Walsh. Again, somebody else who has suffered endlessly in his own career for his slavish devotion to Israel. But he's not with them on this, so therefore he's evil, he's bad, he must be destroyed. And it's interesting because now he's got the Muslims coming after him too. It's the white man's dilemma. And it's just like, why are either of these groups have any say in our country? It just doesn't make any sense. So Matt Walsh demands Mehdi Hassan, calls Mehdi Hassan an ungrateful little bitch for demanding Islamic call to prayer be heard alongside Christian church bells. He says Christianity built this country. Islam did not at all, even in the slightest way. That's why we can have our church bells, you ungrateful little bitch. Frankly, probably not harsh enough, but a good start, a very good start from Matt Walsh. That is the correct response. Why would we care about what you want? And do you think the response to this from Mehdi Hassan was respectful? Did he acknowledge the lack of Islamic influence in the first 250 years of American settlement? Did he come back with an argument of saying, look, all I'm saying is I want, equal religions, equal respect for religions. I find the call to prayer beautiful. You find church bells beautiful. I'm just making a comparison here. And you're right. Muslims didn't help build America, but we're helping now and we love this country. Like, do you think he said any of that? No. What he said was, actually, a third of the slaves that you white people brought over were Muslim. Therefore, Muslims not only are responsible for America, but are now shoehorned into the victim narrative of African Americans so they can endlessly portray white people as evil, as if the people that the slaves were bought from weren't Muslim in the first place. Yeah, why were the slaves Muslim? Oh, because they were forcibly converted by the people who captured them? Interesting. Why doesn't the Mediterranean world have slaves now? Oh, because they castrated them all? Because they treat them like subhumans? Unlike the Christians who ended the slave trade and had to go to war with the Barbary pirates as the first act of military action of the new American Republic to stop them from taking white people as slaves? Where's the appreciation, Mehdi Hassan, you scumbag foreigner?
In a back problem that I've had since Alex was born is almost completely gone after 50 however many years, and my hair is much thicker than it has been, and I have good hair anyway, but it's much thicker, and this is brand new
and darker. Now, I was out at dinner a few weeks ago after my dad had heart surgery, and my mom and my dad were ranting and raving about how great the bovine colostrum was they got. Last run sold out, but it's now back in stock for only a few days. If you buy it, already discounted, any other supplement, ultramethylene blue, the Shilajit, ultimate life force, they're all 50% off any other supplement when you get the bovine colostrum. It's so incredible. It's back in stock. Here's my parents at dinner.
Even on colostrum now, 2 months. And we have the very best at theultrashore.com, and I'm serious. So, Mom, you got to listen. The products are amazing.
Well, this one, like I said, I don't do testimonials. There's a lot of good products, but this is the first one that I can go, whoa, it really.
Tell us what happened.
I have been on the colostrum for about 2 or 3 months, and a back problem that I've had since Alex was born is almost completely gone after 50 however many years. And my hair is much thicker than it has been. And I have good hair anyway, but it's much thicker. And this is brand new.
Turned darker.
Yes, ChatGPT, what it's known to do. Upper respiratory tract infections and symptoms reduction. Attenuation of exercise-induced immune suppression. Antiviral and antibacterial effects. Stopping leaky gut. Support for gastrointestinal disorders, which is the whole body. Enhanced recovery and reduced inflammation. Metabolic health, wound healing, and tissue repair. Get your bovine colostrum back in stock at theyellowstonestore.com, and it funds the Second American Revolution worldwide.
While Japan's trailblazing first female prime minister, Senai Takaichi, an iron-willed firebrand, barrels ahead like a Shinto storm, slapping together a deportation ministry faster than you can say Bansho, the sniveling, pearl-clutching Irish government celebrates while Ireland is thrown into a full-scale rage.
I want to condemn in the strongest possible terms the violence we've seen this evening against members of An Garda Síochána in City West. I want the people involved in that violence to know that they will be met with a very forceful response from An Garda Síochána and our criminal justice system. People went to City West this evening for the purpose of weaponizing a criminal event that happened yesterday. The Gardaí should be praised for the fact that they have an individual before the courts in respect of that alleged criminal offence. So rather than attacking An Garda Síochána, they should be praising them. And I want the people to know that if they continue to be involved in violence, the force will meet them with a very strong response.
See, all this year standing protesting, it's doing no good. Going to your politicians is doing no good. It's, now is the time to stand up and start and move these f***ers on.
Allegedly, a migrant at a huge urban refugee camp that the Irish government set up in Dublin allegedly raped a 10-year-old girl at that refugee camp. Now, this 10-year-old girl was in state custody, so she was a ward of the state. How did a 10-year-old girl find her way from being a ward of the state to the refugee camp and being allegedly raped there? It's so shocking. And how did the alleged rapist, how was he there too? He came to Ireland, according to reports, 6 years ago and was ordered deported. He was ordered out. His asylum claim was rejected. He was ordered deported, but he was still in Ireland, not just in Ireland, at that government refugee camp. The Irish government itself didn't even take its own deportation orders seriously. Now, I landed, and there's a lot of newspapers in Ireland that they probably got, you know, 5 or 10 of their own newspapers, which is quite a bit for a country of just 5 million. Only the Irish Daily Mirror covered this story, and they covered it big on the front page. Child raped at asylum hotel.
Over 500,000 souls have poured across Ireland's borders since 2008 alone. A country of a population of only 5.5 million, enduring a relentless 80,000 plus annual deluge of immigrants since 2024. Based on official data from Ireland's Central Statistics Office.
This organization is ready to sponsor your trip. If you are coming from a non-EU country, you get 4,710 euros. This money is meant to cover your accommodation and flight tickets. That's not all. Your visa fee, registration fee is also covered. Go straight to Google and type HSC IE jobs, then click on overseas candidate.
This is basic arithmetic that this government fails to understand, and it's very frustrating for the people right across the country. And if we look at the numbers, Minister, we look recently, this week and the last number of weeks, students across Ireland have found it incredibly difficult to find accommodation. And then when you drill into the numbers, we see that the international student cohort, the universities, are engaging in a very expansionist approach. Over 40,000 international student visas, that is over 30% increase over the past 4 years. If we look at working visas, last year almost 40,000 working visas. If we go back 10 years ago, Minister, that figure was about 10,000 per year. And obviously we all are very aware of the massive acceleration and surge in relation to the IPASS numbers. So Minister, it is very, very simple that the capacity of the economy is simply unable to cope with this huge level of increase. You have no plan in relation to this, and you have created chaos. Chaos in housing, chaos in services, chaos for the wonderful families and young people across Ireland. It is unacceptable, and essentially, your policy amounts to pouring, a gallon into a pint, and it's unsustainable, Minister.
Crimes metastasizing, thefts ballooning 48%, since the pandemic haze. Ireland streets, once echoing with ancient bonfires and feasting in the misty heartlands of Longford, now reek of imported mayhem. Gutted by cowardly New World Order sycophants, betrayers of the old blood, history's bonfire will roast your spineless hides eternal. Mark my words, the ghosts of Ayr won't forget.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like... Yeah, he's ready for the next
My friend
week.
Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think, this is really funny because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theories. So it's a conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah.
But listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact, that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. He looks great.
You find it all at thealexjonesshow.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalists in our peaceful information war.
Holy shit, he was right about every step of the way.
You're listening to The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at x.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. In studio with me is Leonarda Joni. You can follow her on X at Leonarda is fun E. Is that right? Fun and then the letter E.
Yeah, that's because when the Indians took my, they took my name, Leonarda is funny the normal way. So I had to go with that.
I was going
to
say, I think last time you were here, that was happening. You were under attack from the subcontinent of India.
I was.
How'd that turn out for you?
I won. Okay, because Americans stick together.
Was it an arm wrestling contest? Is that what decided?
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. And now I'm on the attack against Indians and their H-1B visa scams where they're infiltrating American companies, taking over the high levels of leadership, and then refusing to hire anyone who's not Indian, no matter how unqualified they are or how much they, you know, smell.
So. Yeah, no, it's a big scandal, and Canada's getting it worse than anybody. So... But you're on X. You survived the takedown attempt. Your website, leonardaisfunny.com. You're doing a big tour through Texas right now, right?
Yeah,
in San Antonio.
I'm in San Antonio tomorrow, Thursday, Friday. I'm going to be in Austin. You're welcome to come.
I'd love to.
And Alex said he's going to drop in, so you never know who you might see at my show. And then Saturday, I'm going to be in Houston, Texas. So come see me, guys.
So get tickets now at leonardaisfunny.com.
That's right.
So we just watched a Bound report about what's going on in Ireland, and we were talking about this a little bit during the break and a little bit even before the show. So I know you wanted to talk about this. Ireland seems like it might be the one place in Europe that hasn't been castrated, hasn't been fully, I guess Eastern Europe as well, but in Western Europe, Ireland seems like it might have the potential to fight back against the very obvious and deliberate, like, genocide that they're under right now.
Yeah.
So we've got tons of scenes of the riots that are taking place or, you know, protests, but they're getting a little Irish on us. Irish citizens explode in wrath after Algerian migrant rapes 10-year-old girl, police attack protesters. So what do you think? Does Ireland have a chance to stand up to this?
Fuck yes, we all have a chance, but Ireland, I think, is going to lead the way. And seriously, go Ireland, man. Everybody should be cheering Ireland on. My fellow Albanians that are in Europe, you guys should be running guns into Ireland. I mean, you're good at trafficking. Let's traffic for a good cause here. I think the Irish are awesome. I love what I'm seeing from them. They are not going to be shamed with your stupid ploys at, oh, you're, generational guilt. The Irish don't have that. The Irish were oppressed. The Irish were actually the first slaves. So everybody can fuck right off. I'm just going to be full New York here. I toned this in for Alex earlier. I didn't swear on there.
So we are still on the radio.
Oh, whoops. Sorry.
So
sorry.
I think two's our limit,
two's
but you
limit.
Use
I
them
forgot.
Very well, very strategically
yeah,
placed.
Let's go Ireland. Hell yeah.
I'm right there with you. And yeah, I mean, nothing about this about how it's normally justified in Western Europe counts for Ireland. They are the ones that have been subject to colonization. They are the ones abused by imperial powers.
Thank you. But Harrison, this is how you can see that it's all BS. Even when they say it to us, when they say it to the Americans, when they say it to the English, you're colonialists and you feel guilty. You should flick them off and tell them that every place in the world where Europeans colonized ended up being better for the native populations than when they were not under colonization. So take your guilt and shove it right up where the sun don't shine. I'm going to monitor myself for you.
Thank you very much.
Okay? Because we're done. We're done with it. We don't care. And also, you're liars, okay? Because you said you want to bring in these immigrants for the economy and we need to boost the pension plan. Turns out every Somalian immigrant in the UK is costing the taxpayers about $1.2 million because only 1 in 10 Somalians work and they're all retarded whether they work or not. So they lied to you and now they bring these immigrants in and these immigrants are raping your kids. They're killing them. They're eating your pets. And they, when they get arrested, what do you know? The judges let them off. Oh, they didn't understand that rape was bad. Oh, they were under tremendous pressure from being an immigrant here. Enough, okay? And every politician, you know who you are, you know what you did. You know that you sold your soul to the devil and you sold your people out. We're coming for you. Nothing's going to save you, okay? So you better hope that the globalists that you aligned with win, because if we do, there's going to be nowhere you can hide, because traitors are going to get dealt with worse than the enemy.
I completely agree. And again, I think Ireland still has the spirit to carry that out. And some of the images that we're seeing from yesterday is like, this is how every European country should have reacted the first time the first white girl was raped by
an
immigrant.
That's correct. That's exactly correct. But they didn't understand what they were under. You got to understand that the whole system works to come down on the neck of everybody who objects. Like, you know, the UK has arrested more people than China.
Yep.
More people than North Korea. For things that were said online objecting to this. So yeah, but you guys gotta understand, your police also don't have guns. Because your globalist empire doesn't even trust your police. So they're not gonna be able to stop all of you. And people need to bond together and overwhelm the system and take it back. What I think what Ireland is doing is fantastic. I think they should do more of that. I think all those immigrants, now's the time to go home. Okay, remigration is the nice policy. Now's the time to go home. You know why you came. You didn't come with good intentions. You came because you were promised infinite gibs and you saw all these white girls that you wanted to rape. Go home before we don't let you.
I cannot agree more. I mean, honestly, it is, and again, Ireland is this particular case, and I bring up the story, I've probably brought up more than maybe any other story, from the Independent, because before the migrant crisis really got going in Ireland, and it was only a few years ago, they said, we need 5 million more migrants to uphold the pension system. That Ireland is a country of 5 million. So if you're telling me that you need 5 million immigrants into a country of 5 million, you're advocating genocide. Like,
right.
Forget replacement migration, that's actual genocide. And then they're actually advertising in places like Pakistan in the Pashtun language saying, come to Ireland and you can be a police officer. So they're recruiting for police in the Garda from foreign countries. And then you've got these images of like Irish townsfolk like holding hands and not wanting a military encampment of African men in their backyard. And the Garda's coming in and just kicking them out of the way and just brutalizing them. So you've got the police force of Ireland working as an enforcement arm of the globalists to aggressively, like violently settle foreign colonies inside Ireland, and the Irish people are being punished for resisting that.
Well, Harrison, this was why, if you remember when the grooming gang scandal happened in England and they were saying how the police repressed stories, they would arrest the children or the families of the children who complained about it. You have to understand now when you realize, oh, the police were of the same ethnic persuasion as the grooming gangs, it makes a lot more sense.
Yep.
Because everybody else has a tribal identity, except for apparently white people that have been so cucked into submission that they're afraid to even say, don't rape my child because they might get called racist. Oh, well, ooh, I got called a racist. guess what? We are going to have white countries again.
And guess what? They're going to call you racist no matter what you do. Like, what are you even
getting
out of this?
Let them call you racist from their shithole in Pakistan where they're catching diphtheria or whatever the hell they're doing over there because they can't figure out how to wash their hands, okay? Let them call you racist from over there.
Yeah, I mean, it is really, like, when you look at the whole world, when I look at, like, all these insane problems that are, like, only getting worse and worse, it's like the solution is obviously just like white solidarity. Like if white people just.
That's it.
And the fact that that's not allowed, the fact that you're not allowed to say that, the fact that any sort of dipping a toe in the pool of like maybe white people aren't evil and don't deserve to die, you get called a Nazi, you get called a racist. So it prevents anybody who's just doesn't want to be destroyed from speaking out. And so you're left with this dichotomy of like the cuck white people that hate themselves and hate their own race and want, you know, are basically committing civilizational suicide. And then you have the people that are just sick of it and they just go, all right, well, and then I'm a Nazi and I'm a white supremacist. So all you're left with are the extremes. When in reality, what we need is just like, it's not extreme to love my own race. What the hell are you talking about? I like white people and so should you. Like, that's not extreme. So how do we get people to like embrace that? Or are white people too comfortable? That's my latest theory is that we're just too comfortable. It's going to get to a certain point and hopefully it's not when white people are like 1% of the population, but like, white people are too comfortable right now. They just don't have to care about this, so they don't.
I don't think they're as comfortable as you think they are,
yeah.
Harrison. I just don't think the media lets you know what's going on. There's a lot of white men that have been shut out of the workforce because we got to bring in Infinity Indians with their amazing tech skills when they can't even figure out how to drain their sewage, okay? And I think a lot of people are tired of being on the receiving end of being told they're evil simply for the color of their skin when we were told all this time that that's actual racism. And they are starting to fight back and people are starting to say, you know what? All right. Guess I'm racist. Guess yeah. I'm a Nazi. Guess I'm a fascist. Guess I'm an anti-Semite. Guess I'm a misogynist. Guess I'm homophobic, but I don't care. I want my country and I want the values that white people built.
Yeah, and established created and uphold. I completely agree. It's like that there's a classic frog wave post where it's like you got a transgender child like who hates themselves. What's the opposite of this? And the person goes, a Nazi. So like, great, thank you.
Yeah.
okay. Whatever the opposite of that is, I want to be. So like of course you're gonna push.
But
yeah, that.
But this is all intentional. Yeah. Okay? Because they've taken what is actually a very normal position. I want a family. I want to live in a community of like-minded people who look like me, who share a sense of trust and morality. I don't want my kids to be gay or transitioned or molested. I don't want a bunch of third worlders coming in, polluting the rivers. Very normal position, things humans have felt for thousands of years, and they've labeled that an extreme position. They said that makes you an extremist. And then they've taken what is actually an extreme position, this idea that everybody from every part of the world should be welcomed into your home, allowed to do whatever they want, completely disrespect your rules and your values and your traditions, rape your kids, rape your wife, kill you, murder you, take everything you have, and you should call that love and kumbaya. They've taken what is an extreme position and labeled that compassion and love. And it took us a little while to see through because they did a really great number with brainwashing and guilt tripping. They did a great number emotional manipulation because they ran all the systems of control. It took us a little while, but we are finally seeing through it and there is no putting the baby back in the bathwater. I don't know what the expression is. Don't forget.
Yeah, the cat back in the bag. Yeah, well, there's no going back now.
No
absolutely.
Putting the toothpaste back on the comb. Whatever, yes, exactly. It is. We're done. And we're not going back. And go Ireland. I want to see more of this. I want to see the UK. First of all, what are they going to do? They're going to send you a Pakistani lesbian police officer who's going to she's weak. Dude, but literally, you could take them. You can take them. Do you understand?
And like, I got to be honest. I do think I literally think we should be running guns to Ireland because.
So do I.
How many?
How do I get elected to that position?
I don't know. I don't know if you can be. I don't know who we need to get in contact with.
I have to call a couple of my cousins.
Yeah, exactly. You've got the connection. Is it having Eastern European heritage that gives you the edge? Because there's something about Western Europeans that, like, they're so trusting. They're so gullible. And
yeah.
I'm half Western European, you know, half Anglo, and then half, like, Italian. I feel my Italian Sicilian side crop up every once in a while.
Yeah, your Italian side goes, forget about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, the Italian side goes, this is a scam. Don't let them do this.
Yeah.
The white side's like, why would they want to scam me? I feel the dichotomy in myself. But there's something about white Western Europeans that, like, they just trust everybody no matter how many times they're betrayed.
You guys are lovely, wonderful people. I seriously love Western Europeans. I think you guys are fantastic. I'm trying to graft myself into the Western European branch because I love everything that you guys do. You've built the best societies in the world to be in. You are loving. You are deeply empathetic. You extend gratitude and graciousness to everyone, assuming that there is no evil in the world. Okay? That is the problem. You've lost touch with the reality that there is good and evil in the world. And some people are just evil, and they will use every and any tactic to defeat you. And you're so powerful that the only way they could beat you was to trick you into fighting against yourself. Okay? You have to understand what that means about your power, because if that is the only way that they could beat you, then all you have to do is stop fighting against yourself and turn that energy back towards the enemy who's trying to annihilate you, and it's going to be over for them. I don't think Western Europeans should do any more guilting and shaming of themselves. I think they need to turn this, and instead of being depressed, they need to be enraged. Take the anger that they've made you fire back towards yourself and aim it against these people who dared to use your wonderful qualities against you because they were evil, and learn from it. You're going to have to teach the future generations what evil really is, which means you're going to have to learn it yourself. You're going to have to put those. There's a reason fairy tales always warned us about vampires and dragons and demons and monsters, because they're real. And you need to understand that people will use these things to get into your society and ruin you. And Eastern Europeans have already fallen in a way because communism ran rampant through Eastern Europe. So we are aware that there is evil, that people lie, that people say a bunch of BS about, oh, we want everybody to have enough. And what they really mean is, I want to take your stuff because I can't get myself to be rich on my own. And I want it and I deserve it. And the only way I'm going to figure out how to do it is to steal from you.
100%. Yeah, can't agree more. And again, I just, you know, I see videos of, like, I don't know, there's some, like, Yankee, you know, it's guys just, like, it's like hundreds of guys all just, like, tearing their shirts off, like, yeah, about, like, the Yankees. And I'm like, all right, there's going to be a point where, like, we can't be distracted any longer. Because I think a lot of people are waking up. I think a lot of people are sort of shaking themselves out of the nightmare that we've been, you know, seduced into. But I still feel like it's, like, most people out there, they make them uncomfortable. They don't like it. They don't want to be the bad guys. They just kind of ignore it. And they're just going to, like, get their ire up about baseball games or football games. And it's
yeah.
Like, guys, there's a real life war going on. Your country is being stolen from you. Focus that energy on people who deserve it and things that matter. And we're just distracted and comfortable, and it won't happen.
Well, they're sublimating something. You know, they have all this energy. They, you know, Europeans are explorers. They're warriors. You know, they're meant to go out and have purpose and accomplishment. And we've sort of been lulled, you know, by having so much and not needing to fight to live. And then that energy that they can feel something's wrong, but they're not allowed to express it because the HR lady's going to come down on them about sexism and racism. And they sublimate it into an acceptable place. But that's going to stop. And people need to wake up and redirect this energy. You don't know what to do? Okay. At least don't go do something that's detrimental. Find out. I mean, I was talking about this on Alex's show, that there is an organization now called Save Indiana Heritage, which you can go to saveindianaheritage.org. They're forming an organization that will fight against illegal immigration and actually all immigration in Indiana. Indiana, a red state, offers government services in languages other than English. Right there. Just stop that. Oh, you want government services? You need to be able to speak our language. Oh, you don't speak our language? Great. We're going to send you somewhere where somebody does speak your language. It's called your home country. Right. Have fun. Have right. fun with that.
Well, and that's the thing. It's like, you know, a lot of people, cause I'll counter signal Nazis or whatever. Cause I genuinely don't think it's the right thing to do. And people say, oh, you're just scared.
Cut that out, Harrison.
And it's like, but the thing is, the vast majority of regular Americans, whether they're brainwashed or not, whether you think they're, you know, need to just wake up or not, the fact is, like, they're very nice people and they want to be nice. They don't want to be mean. So my thing is just telling people it's not mean to have your own country. You don't think it's mean for Mexico to be Mexican. You don't think it's mean for China to be Chinese. Why do you think it's mean for America to be America or
it doesn't matter.
Europe to be Europe?
Who cares? Get mean. Get mean. Get grow a backbone. No one respects you. Do you understand? The law of the jungle is power and people being afraid. Lions do not tackle and eat hippos because hippos fight back. Lions eat gazelles because gazelles have no defense mechanisms. Lions will attack the weakest buffalo. If a lion, the fiercest animal in the jungle, well, the African plains, right, will respect power, what do you think is true about the Somalian refugee of a 68 IQ? They don't respect you being nice and polite and respecting your rights. They respect power. They respect getting arrested for scamming. They respect facing the death penalty for raping and pillaging. Do you understand? And I just want to say about the Save Indiana Heritage thing, it is a system that is going to be replicated. So you might be like, oh, I don't live in Indiana. Why should I care? You should care because we're going to build these systems throughout the state. So it's a model that can be replicated for your state for where you live. So you want to get in touch with these people. You're like, okay, I live in Idaho and I have to listen to mariachi music with a bunch of people who are drinking at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. What's going on? We're going to set up an organization for Idaho. You have to fight back. They're organized on the left because George Soros has infinite money called your tax dollars to use against you. So guess what? We need to start building the same thing to fight back, and that's the only way that we're going to win.
Yep, I completely agree. I think, you know, Return to the Land has a very good model as well.
Yeah, Return to the Land, that's another great one. All of these systems that can be replicated. And, you know, shout out to Nick Fuentes, who's making it cool to be racist and not give a crap about what all the limitations that they're doing. Yeah, some people might have criticisms of him, but you can't minimize what he's done. I mean, I was hanging out with some Zoomers and this kid's like Asian 20 something year old girlfriend comes out like, I love Nick Fuentes. I'm like, oh, this is amazing.
Oh, he's broken through in like a very big way. And lefties like him too, for some reason, I guess, cause he doesn't like Israel. But yeah, like clearly Europe is under a genocidal program. You are actually being destroyed and you have to fight back. It doesn't matter how many times you vote for it. It doesn't matter how nicely you ask. They will not stop. They are going to destroy you. So you have to fight back. Luckily, Ireland is doing that. But again, you know, the protests that they hold, you know, they'll hold a million people marching in the streets of London demanding that illegal immigration end. They'll just arrest you and keep it going. Like, you have to actually impose yourself upon these power structures.
You need to organize politically. That's it. There is, because it's organized politically or organized violently. Okay, so this is our solution because we all violence is not the answer. Sure, whatever. Organize politically. Do the nice way first. Okay, that is the nice way. And I agree with you. It's pathetic. Stop asking for things. This is your country. Ireland's your country. England is your country. France is your country. Germany is your country. You don't have to ask anyone for anything. You take it. That's how it's going to work.
And there's this weird sort of like inverse white supremacy where, again, I think it's just white people like cannot conceive of themselves being destroyed, right? They have this weird thing where it's just like, but we're white. What do we have to worry about? It's like white people, you're not special. You're not that special. You're very special.
You're 7% of the population.
You're and you were a quarter of the population 100 years ago. So, like, you are going away, you are being destroyed, you can be eradicated from the face of the earth unless you defend yourself. You're not invincible, you're not immortal. We'll be right back. More with Leonarda Joni.
I have said thousands of times, and I have said this hundreds of times to Trump personally, sometimes five, six times when I'm talking to him. Please stop saying it's on accident. Please stop saying they're incompetent. We can send you all the documents. It's on purpose. Here's who runs it. Here's who does it. Now, that was 8, 9 years ago and off and on throughout that. Now he's got all his advisors, or most of them, and all the evidence, and you hear him more and more saying, the Democrats are kamikazes. It's all on purpose. They hate America. They're Satanists. They want to bring us down. It's all premeditated. Yes, 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 because it's the truth. And when you tell the public, oh, they're idiots. Oh, they don't know what they're doing. Oh, they're so incompetent. Yeah, their constituents are, but not the people running it. It's the exact same leftist New World Order, BlackRock, UNWEF program all over the frickin' world. It is a premeditated evil attack in their own damn words. They are villains. It's not like, oh, they're just misguided fools. No, this is on purpose, people. That's what the Great Reset is. They're doing it on purpose. It's on purpose, on purpose, on purpose, on purpose, on purpose. So, this is what they do. They're scum. The opposite of competence. The opposite of trying to deliver success and excellence. Because they want to demoralize you and break your will. Remember how Gavin Newsom went, yeah, we can clean up San Francisco and L.A. anytime we want, but we only did it for Xi Jinping. He just went, ha, 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 ha. And as soon as he's gone, we're going to have everybody crap everywhere and murder and kill and zombie and needles everywhere. You remember? You want to see the clip?
I know folks say, oh, they're just cleaning up this place because all those fancy leaders are coming into town. That's true, because it's true.
Because they love rubbing it in. Well, of course now San Francisco's had crime growing out 98% in the last month, and it's totally clean. Yeah, we could have done it all along. But we ain't doing it for you, you dumb sacks of garbage. If the globalists are successful and we're in a giant collapse depression and you leftists are starving to death later, just remember you and your bosses did this. We're going back to feudalism, which is the most common political system in history, where the elites all over the world, whether it was in Africa or Asia or Europe or Mesoamerica, they kept people starving and under control and super poor so that they could never move out of that lower slave class. And America has been about getting rid of that. Doesn't mean we've been perfect, but damn it, we've done the best job. And they want to flush that down the toilet. Ooh, and they're close to crashing the whole thing. And it's going to crash the whole world economy with 9 billion people, and all the actuaries are clear. War, carnage. I mean, it's just going to be hell, whole world. And the globalists said they're engineering it, and they believe they'll bring in their world government through that. But a lot of experts went, no, actually, you're all going to get destroyed, too. That's why a lot of elites said, pull back, it's too crazy, don't do it. Exactly. Even if you're evil and agree with the plan, it won't work. It's over. Disengage it now. It may already be too late. Trump's trying to save us, but you won't get out of the way.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We are here in studio with Leonarda Joni. You can follow her on X at Leonarda is Fun E. Spelled a little interesting, but Leonarda is F-U-N and then the letter E. LeonardaIsFunny.com, spelled normally, LeonardaIsFunny.com. It's unfortunate, the Indians. The Indians got you there.
Whatever, man. It's a battle scar.
It's the greatest victory they've ever achieved, stealing your Twitter handle. We didn't even go to any of these videos. Let's play some of them as B-roll and just again talk about what Ireland is doing and how this should have been the reaction of every European nation 100 times over at this point. Let's go to clip 12 and 13 here. Thousands are now arriving at the migrant hotel in Dublin. This was yesterday. Thousands of locals chant, "Get them out," in Dublin following the rape of a 10-year-old girl. Let's watch both these now. And you can see the thousands on the street waving the Irish flag and getting tear gassed and pepper balled.
If you're a cop who's doing this, you should resign. If you care about your country, you should resign.
Yep.
Okay? Otherwise, you're a traitor. I don't care about you just doing your job and a paycheck. You have to know what's right and what's wrong. And there's evil people who are running your country right now giving you these orders, and you're a foot soldier for them.
Yep. I mean, can you imagine? Let's go to clip 42 here. These are glass bottles being thrown at police in Dublin. And this is valid and legitimate violent resistance.
Yeah.
Because they're being violently imposed upon. Because if you try to protest a migrant center going up in your backyard, in your town of 200 people that's been there for 2,000 years, suddenly gets an influx of 500 African men and you want to stop it, they send the Garda out to stomp on your face to force the guys into your backyard. So while you know, I will decry Antifa throwing rocks at ICE agents doing their job, in this case, it's justified, it's legitimate. And can you imagine being a Irish police officer getting beamed in the head with a glass bottle and taking that because you're protecting a bunch of African rapists? I mean, it's insane.
You should honestly, you know, Ireland's a small country. Sure, I'm sure the people know who the cops are. You should shame them. They should be they should not be able to walk into a pub without getting booed out. People should cut them off. You should stop talking to them until the Irish men who are part of the police force resign. Then they can go hire all their Pakistani lesbians to be part of the cops. And now you know who's on what side. Okay. And, just so you know, one Irish man can take down about three Pakistanis. So I think the numbers are in your favor.
Yeah, they really are. And again, it really is. It's just like if white people were just treated like everybody else, we'd be fine. If they would just take the boot off our neck, we'd be fine. If we'd stand up for ourselves, we'd be fine. Well, let's go to clip 46 here. These are Irish patriots on horseback, screams of "This is our land" as thousands hit the streets of Dublin after following a sex attack on a child by an invader. Let's go to clip 46 here. These guys are actually riding horses in like they're going to battle, which they are.
Pretty awesome.
Horses, I don't know.
Those are ponies.
They're ponies, and he's leaning back a little bit. You're going to want to get a saddle for that horse if you're going to ride it into battle. But, I mean, things are clearly popping off here, and they're not taking it laying down. We'll go to one more video, and then we can move on to other topics. But I do want to go to clip 50 here. This is Keith Woods, who's there at the protest. And the audio is a little hard to hear because of the chaos around him, but Keith Woods has been leading this charge and was there on the ground at the protest. Let's watch.
So I'm here at the protest at City West Hotel, where a migrant, an asylum seeker that was supposed to be deported, stayed in the country and raped a 10-year-old Irish girl that was in state care. As you can see, things are massively kicking off here. There's probably well over 1,000 protesters. Unfortunately, this isn't the first crime we've seen like this.
I
want to
be there.
Seriously.
I wish I was there. There's a cop car burning in the background. Things are exploding. Keith Woods is having the time of his life. We're there with you in spirit, Ireland, and I swear, running guns to Ireland in the UK would be an act of mercy and a true act of, like, spreading our culture if America were to be involved in that.
Yeah, man. Spread American culture.
I mean, they need it.
Guns and burgers, not this gay stuff they've been exporting all over the world.
100%. Now, let's move on from Ireland a little bit, because I got a lot of videos about Israel. How do you feel about Israel, Leon?
Oh, I think everybody knows how I feel about Israel.
You love it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Israel, the nation, the only nation in the world that's allowed to have an ethnostate. What do you know?
Well, that's sort of the key, isn't it? It's, to me, when you talk about globalism, I define that as communism plus Zionism. Communism, where all nations have to be dissolved and everything has to be made equal and all of the highest nails get hammered down and you cannot have nations. That's a violation of our universal brotherhood. And then Zionism, which is permanent, absolute, unquestionable nationhood for the Jewish people that is, you know, is supreme over everything. If you have both of these in one, that's sort of a model for globalism where you're going to have a worldwide government headquartered in Jerusalem, run by the Israelis and everybody else, you know, kept in sort of a 1984 style communist, dystopia.
When you understand that that is the mission, everything that's happening makes sense.
Exactly.
And there was a book I read years ago, kind of woke me up to it, by Father Seraphim Rose called Orthodoxy and the Religion of the Future. And he wrote this book in the 80s, and he spoke about this then, where he said the Jews want to create an ethnostate in Israel from which they will rule the rest of the world. It's not just we have a right to defend ourselves and we need a homeland and all. That's not what it is, guys. Stop listening to liars, okay? What it is they're going to create a stronghold where they can flee after they do all the crimes that they're doing around the world. They'll stop. Okay, once they're done pillaging America and England and France and Germany and the law wants to come down on them, suddenly they're not an American citizen. They're not a British citizen. They are an Israeli. They will flee to Israel, which has no extradition laws. And from there, they will continue to rule the rest of the world, which they have successfully destroyed with mass migration and gayification.
Gayification, that's a good one. I haven't heard that one before. Well, you know, Ted Cruz would disagree with you. Ted Cruz has his own ideas about what Israel
Ted
is.
Ted Cruz is a bought and paid for shill, and he bends over and takes it every time Netanyahu wants to give it to him. And at the end, he says, "Please, sir, can I have some more?"
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, the fact that he says, "I got elected on the promise to be Israel's biggest champion." It's like, how? How do we have American citizens? Do you see the video? I'm not even sure if I put it in here. There's a video. I know where it is. I'll pull it in. This guy's, he asks an American politician, it's an American congressman, and he says, "Are you America first or Israel first?" And the guy can't answer.
No.
If you can't answer whether you're America first or Israel first as an American representative, like, you should be kicked out of office.
Well, he can answer, but he knows that the answer is not going to make him very popular with Americans because it's Israel first. And he can't lie and say America first because then his Israel paylords will demand his head. So these people, anytime you guys hear about this dual loyalty crap, it's BS. They have a singular loyalty, and it is to Israel and to Jewish supremacy. That's it. You need to understand that and stop kidding yourselves.
Well, and again, it doesn't even make sense. Like, when it comes to somebody like Ted Cruz, it's like not even Jewish, but he's like their strongest warrior. It's just, it's like sickening to me. Honestly, it's like a this almost like performative servitude that really freaks me out. Like, it's kind of disgusting.
So here's the thing, Harrison. He's a sycophant and he is a slave. He's got a slave mentality. See, people who are weak, and if we look at Ted Cruz's chin, we can see that he's not exactly the high testosterone male. Look at those weaselly eyes just begging for some scraps. Okay. These people who are low testosterone, weasel slave mentality, who know that they cannot fight and win, instead decide to side with the enemy. Maybe if they suck up to the enemy enough, they'll get some scraps and they won't be annihilated with the rest of us. These people are traitors. They're pathetic. They have existed throughout history. If we learn from history, we learn from our fairy tales, there are always these weasels who sell out the king because they'll never be strong enough to be king by themselves, and they want to ally with the enemy in the hopes that they can get little bits and scraps of power.
Yeah, well, and it works. I mean, they do get power. That's how you get power. But then
it's fake power. It's fake power because...
Well, right,
because
it's not...
Because what can he do?
Because they're a servant.
Nothing he does is of his own volition. Everything he does, he has to get approval for. He could never get something moved that he actually wants moved on. So that's fake. And those people are pathetic.
That's true. That's a good point. It's like Darth Vader and the Emperor, right? It's like, oh, you know, come with me and you'll have the power of the dark side. And he becomes half robot servant dude that just does what he's told. You don't have any power.
You
the power is an illusion. It's on the behest of somebody else.
You have more power being squashed as an enemy of Israel and Netanyahu than you do as a servant, because at least that way you have the power to protest.
Wow. Yeah. And the thing I've noticed is all of the pro-Israel people are all getting the backlash. Now, obviously, Charlie Kirk is, you know, it's a big issue where he was getting, you know, bullied and threatened and potentially killed by his Israeli donors.
I mean, come on, everybody knows, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I mean, I'm
just out here, oh, well, I couldn't be. It's a tranny lover. Ah, yeah, okay, guys. Okay, sure. Netanyahu just happened to be the first person to tweet about it. He makes three apologies. He's in the group chat saying he's going to go against Israel. We've got Bill Ackman over here threatening to kill him. Netanyahu offers him $150 million, and he turns it down, and then Netanyahu goes, okay, just kidding. I'm just going to go home now.
Actually, he loved Israel, and with his last breath, he said, praise Israel. We're sure we heard it. But since then, they've moved on. Like, obviously, Tucker Carlson was in their, crosshairs for a while. I feel like they've sort of failed on him. Like, he's still, like, they really went hard after Tucker. And I saw that fall off recently because they started going after Matt Walsh, because Matt Walsh was refusing to condemn the guys from the Young Republican chat. And now they're going after Tommy Robinson for some reason. And this is the craziest thing. He goes on this humiliation tour through Israel. Have you seen any of these videos?
Tommy Robinson.
They're wild. They're wild. So.
Yeah, I've seen those. It's pathetic. So what I say, I said, these people are slaves. They have to get on their knees. See, this is what you got to understand. Okay. They're in power. And what you can see what they will do when they're in power. So for example, Epstein, right? We all know Epstein blackmailed all these powerful people. How did he get to those powerful people? Well, he already had access to them, right? If you've already got access to these powerful people, that means you're already in power, which means you don't really need to blackmail them. You already have them in power. So why did you blackmail them? Because that's who you are. That's what you want to do. They're not doing it to get power. They trafficked and raped children because that's the goal. Do you understand? Raping your children, destroying your country, and making you slaves is the goal. It's not a means to get to the goal.
Yeah, I mean, I just, it's like clearly they're panicking, right? Clearly, when you're going after Matt Walsh and when you're demanding that Candace Owens be arrested, when you're like going after the people that have been on your side, like Matt Walsh, like Charlie Kirk, like even Tucker Carlson and Megyn Kelly to some degree, like, why are they going after these people so, voraciously, so angrily, when like they've been your biggest fans? Charlie was your biggest fan. They literally drove him away, endlessly hounding him about not being exactly on message or not being willing to, sacrifice his own respectability because so many people are turning away from Israel. It's like, what is even the strategy here? I don't see a strategy, which seems to me like they're just panicking and freaking out and lashing out against the very people that are helping them. Like, they're just on a downward spiral.
So, Harrison, their power is built on lies. Lies and deception. And the one thing liars and deceivers are afraid of most is the truth. Because the truth is like a light that will shine and reveal what they're saying, which would then totally undermine their power. Right? So they can't have that. And you and I coming out and saying this stuff, it's a little bit of a threat, but not a huge, because nobody's really, we're not that big, and we can be sort of slandered as anti-Semites and racists and Nazis, and you can get the lay people to not listen. But people like Tucker Carlson, people like Charlie Kirk, like Megyn Kelly, who were mainstream, who were seen as intellectuals, intelligent, making reasonable arguments. They were right there with you. Turning against Israel is dangerous because now you had the ear of Israel's supporters, and you are revealing the lies on which Israel is built. And now you will take the whole army that you helped them create, and it will be used against you. Therefore, it is like a dog being on a corner who is going to attack you and try to kill you, even if it means risking everything, because everything they have is under threat.
Right. They're really damned if they do, damned if they don't. When it comes to somebody like Tommy Robinson, it's incoherent what their opposition is. So Tommy Robinson goes to do this. It's literally a Hasbara tour, right? It's a propaganda tour for Israel. Tommy Robinson went to Israel on a government-funded propaganda tour, only to get humiliated repeatedly and condemned by members of the foreign government he sought to serve. This is a great interview, or a story rather, from informationliberation.com, which I cannot recommend enough. Chris Manahan really does incredible work.
Oh, yes, I've read Chris's stuff. Chris is great.
He's awesome, and he gets stuff that I don't find anywhere else, so I want to give him a shout-out. So Robinson goes and he basically just gets like browbeaten by Israeli nationalists, and he sits there and takes it, and he, you know, apologizes for, you know, being European.
Because he's a little goy slave. That's why. Nobody should listen to Tommy Robinson. You know who people should listen to? They should listen to Steve Laws. Steve Laws is on X. He's not a big known account, but he has been right on the money with everything. They should listen to Zoomer Historian, also great X account. Forget Tommy Robinson and his paid shill when he couldn't even, when they asked him what a British person is and he said it's not a white person. That's it. You should be done. Done. Finito.
Yeah. And it's like, again, where is the, okay, you know, Tommy Robinson, I think, does a lot of great work when it comes to, you know, identifying the grooming gangs, and, you know, he's been on the forefront of that. And it's like, here are all these Israeli people who will tell you, you know, their biggest enemy is Islam. Here's this number one opposer of Islam coming into UK, to the UK, and the Israelis condemn him. So that's the latest what happened. Slap in the face. Israeli minister ordered to apologize for inviting British far-right agitator Tommy Robinson. They had to apologize for inviting him when the whole purpose of him going there was to sit there and be humiliated and talked down to and like insulted by Israelis. It's absurd.
But here, and here's the awesome thing. Israel's government currently is a far-right extremist government. So that's okay for Israel. Once again, the Brits can't have it because that's a threat to total global domination by Jewish supremacy. Now, Tommy Robinson thinks he's doing what he's supposed to do. Blame the Muslims. Blame the Muslims. What he doesn't understand is who gave the Muslims power and why are the Muslims even in Britain? They're there to fulfill the purpose of Jewish supremacy, which is to break down the British rule of their own country, put in these Muslims, because then they're really, they don't have a cohesive government, and whatever the global power wants, they will do.
And, you know, obviously it is genuinely absurd the amount of time and resources that American politicians spend going to Israel, kissing the wall. I mean, it's
so pathetic.
And I feel like they've increased. I feel like it used to be like, okay, when somebody was starting out, they would go and they'd get the picture in front of the wall. Now it's like, we got Rubio going there on Friday. J.D. Vance is there today. Trump was there last week. We got 400 members of Congress going there 2 weeks ago. You got the young people that they brought over, all the young influencers that they brought over. It's like, okay, enough humiliation rituals, going and bowing at the wall. It's like,
you know who's not going there?
It's not working.
Thomas Massie. Thomas Massie's not going there. And then that's the one guy that Trump wants to rally everybody around. It's like, you got other problems to focus on. Leave Thomas Massie alone. Okay. But it's also this, these people are sadistic and they love to display their power and to show you that you are a slave. That's the whole point. That's why they're ramping it up. That's why they had Marco Rubio go there soon after Charlie Kirk was killed and just grovel and everything. It's all about showing you that you don't have your country. Okay.
Yeah. And when it comes to Europe, I mean, their story yesterday, NHS doctor was arrested for not liking Israel, literally just like said she doesn't think Israel should exist. So they arrest her for that. A German professor just got arrested for insulting Netanyahu. There's this thing, it's the Israeli, they call it the Golden Dome, I think. It's like the Iron Dome, or it's the Cyber Dome. So basically Israel is setting up and will be responsible for cybersecurity in America and
right.
Germany. You know who was running that?
Nothing could go wrong with that.
You know who the guy running it is?
No.
He was the guy that was caught in Las Vegas trying to sleep with a girl and escaped. Tom Alexandrovich.
Oh, the one trying to sleep with the child.
Yes, with the child.
With the child. Was here for like 48 hours, and the first thing he tries to do is pedophilia. Cool.
And then the dual citizen Israeli prosecutor lets him go back to Israel. So, I mean, clearly they're setting up a control grid across all of Western Europe and America. America, they're having a little bit more trouble because we have free speech laws, but, you know, they're using the European governments to crack down on anybody that opposes Israel. And it's sick, and it's, you know, they're increasing their aggressiveness on this. And when it comes to Thomas Massie, you know, AIPAC is his number one enemy, but they didn't donate to his opponent. They created a new PAC called Kentucky MAGA.
Nice.
That's just AIPAC repackaged.
Right.
So AIPAC is secretly funding money into congressional race. Here are the details. So AIPAC has become so unpopular. It's such poison to most races now that they're having to launder their money through other organizations or tell their people just donate directly so AIPAC's not involved. So to me, that in and of itself is a major victory in the info war, to make the opposition to AIPAC more powerful than what AIPAC can provide.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, like you said, they're going to find other ways around it. And we need to be aware, because our goal is not to end AIPAC. Our goal is to be free from Jewish money influence that does not have America's interest first. That's our goal. So I don't care if Miriam Adelson is donating the $100 million through AIPAC or through herself. Either one should be unacceptable. And this is my number one criticism of Trump, is the fact that he is completely bending the knee to everything Israel wants. You guys got to understand, you think, oh, yeah, he's deporting the migrants and all this stuff. If Israel gets what it wants, these deportations will be temporary at best, because the whole goal is to completely destroy any kind of ethnic cohesiveness in any other country except Israel, so that no one will be a threat to their global domination. So deporting the immigrants today while giving Israel stuff that's going to put them in power tomorrow is a losing strategy, because we're eventually going to get all those people back and worse.
Yep. 100%. Again, it really seems like they are panicking. They're censoring, you know, they just bought TikTok. They're censoring X. I mean, that in and of itself, I think, has backlashed hugely. I'm sure you've seen it. The algorithm changed on X. Every time I load X now, the first like five posts are from Zionists I don't follow. And it's like, how can this be helping? You're literally just pissing everybody off. You're just putting bullshit in front of my
One of the things you can do is you can click the three circles and say, this, you're not interested in this.
Right.
You cannot interact with the post and it goes away, because everything I see is anti-Israel. So it tells you what I'm interacting with. And racism. So that's also fun. So you can do certain things to fight back, and it's so obvious, and people just need to keep speaking out. Like, if you don't have any power, you can tell the truth. You have the power to tell the truth, that you are not a slave yet. Speak up while you can, before you can't and you're regretting it. If you think it's not going to happen here, you're out of your mind. I mean, we have all of these examples of communism destroying and eroding freedom in nations to the point that the people became total slaves. They were genocided. They were killed. That's what happens when you don't use your voice.
100%. And just like everything that we're dealing with, it's like, deal with this now while it's still in its infancy, while it hasn't taken over. And it's so much easier than having to deal with it once this stuff has been implemented, just like in Ireland. If people had stood up and stopped them from coming in, it would have been a hell of a lot easier to fix this problem than now, when there's a million migrants there and they're already embedded and, you know, half of your police are foreign. It's like, all right, now it's going to be a challenge. If you'd done this 10 years ago, it would have been easy, but nobody saw the threat back then. So like all this stuff, I completely agree. And I think the way things are going, it's really just a matter of time before American support for Israel dissolves completely. And I think all of their strategies that they're trying to implement are just backfiring, because Americans don't like to be controlled. We don't like to be told what to do, and we don't like to be told lies to our face. So it's not working. You got to, for your own sake, stop, because Americans aren't going to take it anymore.
Yeah. Yep. And, you know, I think Ireland should start running their own candidates that are anti-immigration against these Zionist ones. And if because, you know, Conor McGregor was trying to run the president, and they refused to put him on the ballot. Okay, then things need to burn.
Yeah. No, literally. It is literally the only way, because if you don't intervene now, it's not a question. It's not like, well, it might go well, it might not. No, you're slated for eradication. So intervene, interdict now, or suffer the consequences. Leonardo Joni, this has not been the funniest segment, but it's been extremely informative. Do you like doing the comedy stuff better, or the angry stuff better?
I like them both. You know, the comedy stuff lets me get a break.
All right, we'll be right back.
The American spirit is the fire of freedom, ignited by the Founding Fathers' fearless words on the printing press. Carried by Paul Revere's midnight ride to warn of tyranny's approach. It's the courage of the Alamo, where men and women stood against impossible odds for a better tomorrow. It's the resolve of a nation daring to dream beyond the stars. InfoWars is that spirit reborn. We are the lighthouse, shining truth on the hidden rocks of corruption, foreign and domestic. We challenge power, expose lies.
I'm here to warn people. You keep telling me to shut up. This isn't a game.
And arm we the people with knowledge to forge their own path. This is the fight for freedom. InfoWars is you, me, and every patriot who dares to seek the truth. Join us. Stand tall. For when the stakes are this high, truth is our greatest weapon. InfoWars is America.
Alex Jones, patriot. A man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life. But they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger. Faster. Louder.
Go to alexjonesapp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Yes!
All right, welcome back, folks. This is the War Room. Third hour is on. I'll open up the lines for your calls here in just a second. I'm going to go to new callers only, so if you're a person who's never called in before or called in and never actually got on the show, then we'll go to you first, and I ask our regular callers to hold off for a little bit. I'll give out the phone number in the next segment. We'll open up phone lines then. I want to go to a video here of our friend, Anna Kasparian. Anna Kasparian was attacked on the streets of L.A., and this is the consequence of, you know, standing up against the powers that be. And she has a very interesting take on this and how this whole thing unfolded. Let's go to 27 now. This is the Young Turks, Anna Kasparian, talking about how she was confronted and attacked on the streets of L.A. Let's watch.
As I'm walking away, she says to me, good luck to your husband dealing with you. And I say, my husband loves me. And she responds with, that's why we're trying to get him fired. To me, that was the sign that this isn't some lone wolf situation. She's part of an organized group that's not just attempting to destroy me, but destroy my husband's livelihood. When my husband has nothing to do with my career, nothing to do with, guy doesn't even like politics. Okay, he works in athletics, he works at a school, he loves his students love him, but they want to destroy him because he refused to put out a statement condemning his wife. Incessantly, they demand that he put out a statement condemning his wife. He's not going to do that. Okay? You're not going to get in between a marriage because your feelings are hurt over my criticism of a foreign government. So at that point, we approach her and I decide I'm going to file a police report, and I don't know this woman's name. I want to have an image of her. I want to have a video of her. I want to have a video of her dog. And so get a load of her behavior here, where all of a sudden, now that I'm recording, she's pretending like she's the victim when she's the one who tried to sick her dog at me and Charlie. And pay very close attention to her treatment of her own dog, how her dog is behaving, and what she's saying. Do you think it was appropriate for you to try to sick your dog on me?
I did not.
Do you think that was appropriate? To sick your dog at me? You sicked your dog at me.
I told you to stay away from me because my dog is barking.
Was that appropriate?
Was it appropriate?
Okay.
To get away from me.
Look
at me. Can I talk to you?
No.
I, okay.
Why did you try to stick your dog at me?
I told you to get
because
away from me.
Because you don't like
me.
My political views?
I told you to get like this.
Psycho.
I told you to stop
totally
following me.
Now you're acting different because
right
you're being recorded,
you to get
right?
away from me. I told you to get away from me. I told you my dog is barking.
Why did you try to stick your dog at
me? Stalking me.
Why did you start yelling at me? Why did you stick your dog at me?
No.
Oh, now you're a victim after you tried to stick your dog at me and my dog.
Come back and attack me.
No.
Okay. So, there's another video that we're going to go to that's going to prove that what I'm telling you guys is true.
Wait.
Go
so
ahead.
You're trying to get me fired.
No, I did not. I'm telling everybody about her.
No, that's what she just said. You're trying
you, you
to get
said
me
that
fired.
You're trying to get my husband
I said
fired.
Everybody's trying to get me fired.
Exactly. Yeah, you're part of that everybody.
Be careful. That woman's dangerous. She tried to stick that dog at me.
Well,
She tried to stick that dog at me and my dog. That's what she tried to do. That's what she tried to do. She tried to stick her dog at me and my dog because she doesn't like my political views, because I don't like a genocidal government. So in the middle of that, you hear her saying, no, no, I said everybody's trying to get him fired. Thus confirming what I said earlier, but more importantly, that this woman apparently knows everything about me, knows who my husband is, know where he works, knows about the campaign to try to get him fired.
I know what they're going to do next. Oh my God, they showed it online.
Oh yeah, we sure did.
I was just trying to stalk her.
We sure did. I will never apologize for that. You came for my dog and my husband. You want to come for me? That's a different story. Okay, mano a mano. That's a different story.
Don't.
You come at me with my dog? With my dog. You try to stick your dog at my dog. You try to threaten my husband's livelihood. You think I'm a little wilting flower and I'm so scared. I'm not scared. I'm not scared. This isn't going to stop me from doing the commentary that I do.
I mean, you got to love it. I'll tell you one thing. The lady threatening Anna Kasparian wasn't a right winger. Well, that's because she was a MAGA supporter, I'll tell you that right now. What do you think it was about?
I also noticed your cup is stained blue on the inside.
I've been caught.
You got a little, did you find some methylene blue floating around here?
I did, man. I commandeered some from Harrison's office.
Yeah, AlexJonesStore.com. Check out the supplements we have, 25% off apparel. Methylene blue you can get for 50% off if you get a subscription and you never run out. So,
amen.
I know Stuart's going to be looking for a bottle. I'm going to go try to track one down for him while...
if you don't mind, I'm a bottle that fills too.
You like both? What do you like better?
You know what? I like them both.
Okay.
When I'm traveling, the pills definitely.
Yeah.
It's easier.
Yeah, it's not gonna, you're not worried about it breaking open or...
No, on the way over here, I took a couple.
Yeah.
You know, while I'm driving.
Yeah. So with driving, did you feel more alert while you were driving or?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I took a couple shots while I'm in here. In lieu of coffee. You guys ran out of coffee, so I went and got some methylene blue.
That's all he needs is a little methylene blue.
You're tuned in to The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Welcome back, folks. This is The War Room. I'm going to go ahead and open up the phone lines for your calls. We're taking first-time callers only. So if you've called in before, our regular caller, just hold off for a second. People are fast on the quick on the draw. But if you've never called in before, if you've called in and haven't been able to get on the show, please do call in. The number to dial is 1-877-789-2539, 1-877-789-2539. Give us a call at the War Room. And I've gone this whole show and I haven't even plugged. I haven't once. Maybe once I mentioned the AlexJonesStore.com. But I'm doing a disservice to ourselves and to you because you are suffering. You don't even know. You don't even realize. But you are suffering because you haven't gone to the AlexJonesStore.com. I say that only half jokingly. I'm sure you've heard the commercial that's been playing quite a bit here, but it's true. You might not even know what part of your suffering is because you're missing a crucial mineral or some sort of vitamin. You don't know. And it's not until you try these products that you go, oh, my back hurting isn't just a part of getting older. I was missing iodine or whatever it is. Now, I'm not making medical claims, but people call in regularly to tell us the incredible response they have to some of these products that, I mean, we don't advertise that, iodine or the Irish sea moss will, allow you to sleep less. We're not making claims like that, but you'll see. But try it yourself and you'll find out just how powerful it is and what surprising ways you react to it. We've got, of course, creatine. We've got the Irish sea moss. We've got the Shilajit. And you can get any of those for 50% off if you purchase Bovine Colostrum Plus. So one of our newest and most powerful products, Bovine Colostrum Plus, sold out very quickly, but it is back in stock. And if you buy Bovine Colostrum Plus, you get any other supplement 50% off while supplies last. That is a massive sale going on at thealexjonesstore.com. Go to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you. The benefits of colostrum are really innumerable. Gut repair, rebuild your gut lining to support digestion, immunity, and whole body health. immune power. It delivers natural compounds to your body to help fight back against toxins, stress, and immune system overload. Muscle recovery helps rebuild tissue and reduce soreness so you bounce back stronger after workout, stress, or strain. It has stress support. Bovine Colostrum Plus promotes calm, focused energy using natural adaptogens. No caffeine, no spikes, just stable performance. The toxin shield aids detox pathways to flush out free radicals, pollutants, and daily environmental bio threats. And it has better absorption since it is natural. It can absorb into your body and actually be as effective as possible. All of those things are all just some of the benefits of Bovine Colostrum Plus on sale now at thealexjonesstore.com. Like I said, we'll go out to your phone calls in just a minute. Still some lines open if you want to call 1-877-789-2539. I got so many videos still to go to. Let me be judicious in what we go to. Let's actually go to clip 55 first, because one of the best characters to come out of the MAGA revolution, in my opinion, is Mike Lindell. I love this guy. I can't even explain how much I love this guy. Like, and it's just him. It's just who this guy is. And from the first, I very distinctly remember the first time seeing him on Fox News pitching MyPillow, because I noticed that he had clearly, deliberately taken the cross necklace out of his shirt and put it like kind of awkwardly over his collar. And it's like, it's because he wants it on display. He wants it out front. And I thought that I like this guy. I like this guy from the first moment I saw him, but he's only gotten better and better. They've tried to destroy him. They've tried to destroy the business that he created, which has employs thousands of Americans. They have done the same thing to him that they did to Alex Jones, where they sue him for statements that he made, and then the judge declares him guilty and then has a fake jury trial to decide how guilty he is. Completely ridiculous, utterly outrageous. This man has never hurt anybody. His story is incredibly inspirational. He was a crack addict and now has this amazing business that he puts so much money back into conservative movements. And frankly, I wish we'd see more awareness about what's going on from politicians, from people that this man has sacrificed everything to help. And I never see any of them coming out and going, hey, Mike Lindell is a good guy. He shouldn't be persecuted like this. He shouldn't be prosecuted like this. This is wrong. We need to help him. Like, they got no help. They got no consideration for anybody that's not writing them $100 million checks. And even if you do spend the equivalent of $100 million, like Mike Lindell certainly has, you know, once you're not useful to him anymore, you know, you're just sort of off to the wayside. Yeah, kind of like us, kind of like InfoWars. Everybody has to learn this lesson. But now Mike Lindell is coming back. He's not taking all of this lying down. He's actually talking about running for governor. Let's go clip number 55 now.
Sex addiction, all addictions that's based on Christian principles. Why is he targeting you, sir?
Well, I would call him a radical Muslim. I believe he hates our country. You have Ilhan Omar over there too. And I think all the attacks on me, they don't want people getting off addiction and becoming Christians or giving their life to Jesus Christ. He could also be a little upset that I'm considering running for governor of Minnesota. I mean, the attacks
holy,
got
what?
Turned up
what?
Then all of a sudden.
Holy, that's a scoop. You're considering doing what?
Running for governor of Minnesota against Tim Walz.
Is this actually, am I breaking news here on it's too much news we're breaking today in the world. Is this true?
Well, Mike Lindell's thinking about running for governor? Absolutely.
So Mike Lindell, potential future governor of Minnesota. That's what needs to happen. All of these people that are just endlessly raked over the coals, all of the influencers who have been arrested, we all need to be running for office, honestly. I'm not going to, because God forbid. God forbid I start poking around in my background. Look, I've been inside some of these government buildings when they're holding proceedings. I couldn't do it. Make me emperor, make me temporary dictator with supreme unquestionable power. Now we're talking. But if you want me to sit in a room while the likes of Jerry Nadler prattle on about, you know, how evil white people are, that ain't happening. Of course, one of the things happening in politics these days is that government remains shut down. I have a prediction that this ain't going to last too much longer. I'm kind of surprised it's lasted this long, but November 1st is the deadline. And after that, people start getting taken off EBT. Their food stamps stop working. Some of this is already taking place a little bit, but yeah, the Democrat Party can't have their entire constituency starve to death. So they're going to have to come to a deal pretty quick if they don't want the vast majority of their, you know, criminal constituency to starve to death. They need to do something about it. Some upstanding and righteous Americans are very mad that their free money is being taken away. Let's go to clip 33 here. This guy got an email from the EBT system saying that he'd be kicked off, and he's not taking it well. Let's watch.
I got an email from EBT. I used to get $740 a month for my two kids, and we're not getting EBT no more. They took the EBT. They saying I got to work 20 hours a week. I'm not working for nobody. Get the f*** out of here. This is what Americans, taxpayer, work for us. They work for me.
They work for
me. They gotta help me feed my fucking kids. Get the fuck out of here. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't be quitters now. Y'all been helping us all this time. Now y'all want to tap out. Get the fuck out of here. I want my EBT, yo. I want my EBT, and I'm not working for nobody. I'm a fucking boss.
What
the fuck I look like working when the government is here to help? Come on. Y'all send all that money to Iraq, Ukraine, y'all funding all these wars, but when it's time to help the Americans, y'all don't want to help us? I need my EBT, yo. I need my money, yo. I need my fucking EBT. Stop playing with me, yo.
I mean, what is there even to say? What is there even to say? I mean, if that guy is not ashamed of himself, I mean, what am I supposed to say? Yo, I'm a boss, dog. I'm a boss. I'm a boss of laying around my house not doing anything. He literally says, that's what you people work for. I'm not working. You people work to raise my kids. You people work to pay me to do nothing. 20 hours a week? God forbid. Do I look capable of holding down a job? I mean, are they not ashamed? I'm ashamed of them. It's just like, okay, even if you think that, the mindset behind making a video where you're going, give me my money, government. Give me my snacks, master. I'm not working. I'm not a help to anybody. I don't benefit anybody ever. I'm a drain on this economy, and I will be for my whole life, and my kids will be too. I'm raising them that way. We are an intergenerational parasite, and you're not allowed to kick us off. Just amazed. I'm a boss. Is that what that means now? I'm a boss of being nothing. I'm a boss of just wasting all of my time constantly. Like, what do these people even do all day? What do you even do? You can't find 20 hours a week to go rake leaves and you get $740 on top of whatever you'd be paid. You just can't do it. You just refuse to do it. It's not even I've been kicked off EBT. It's I'm being asked to do the bare minimum to qualify for EBT. And he's just furious. He's outraged at the idea that he should be expected to do anything ever. It's your money and I need it now because I'm a boss. I'm a boss of living on the dole. I'm a boss of being entirely dependent on strangers. I'm a boss of being incapable of maintaining bare minimum employment requirements. I mean, it's like, screw these people. Screw these people. Is this what all it takes? You just have to shut down the government and these people just go away? Great. Let's keep it shut down forever. If 6 months from now we cut off EBT, of course I'm joking because you know what's really going to happen. Do you think that type of entitlement will accept being cut off from government-free food? Do you think he'll accept simply going to the charity down the road that provides it, you know, from private donations? because America is the most generous place ever. Nobody's ever going to starve in America. How hilarious would that be? No, there's infinite possibility, infinite potential. You can get a job easy as hell. You can get free food from every church on the block. You know, this guy's not going to starve, but they are going to start robbing you. They do feel entitled to $1,000 a month for doing nothing, and they're going to get it from you one way or another. Either the government is going to act as the thug in, you know, in between, and they're going to steal your money from you and give it to the generational criminal, or they're going to take it from you themselves. I have more videos like this, but the crew was already overburdened with the censorship of these curse words in the videos. I mean, there's literally people just being like, y'all better watch out. Just lock your cars. That's all I'm saying. Saying lock your car. As soon as EBT stop, people ain't going to starve. They're going to get theirs. And it's like, just get a job. Just get a job, you idiots. Just get a job. What the hell's wrong with you? Work requirements are just like the bare minimum. Just how much of our money? Oh, you have a compilation of it. The crew's got a compilation of it. Let's go to the compilation of our fellow Americans, of our fellow parasites. You just, like, let me really think about this for a second. So entire countries depend on America's generosity. I've got a story, sort of follow-up to yesterday. The Somali leadership in Somalia is basically saying they're in a catastrophe because of USAID cuts. USAID cuts have severe impact on Somalia's economy, says Development Bank chief. So remember, 35% of Somalia's GDP comes from money sent by Somalians here to there. So a third or more of their GDP in total just comes from money siphoned from Americans and sent overseas. On top of that, our government provides them billions of dollars to the extent that if it gets cut off, their country's not going to exist anymore. That's just one country of hundreds. So all of our money is being taken and sent overseas, sent to fund wars, sent to uphold these countries that are incapable of feeding themselves, yet they all have 10 children. Okay, great. Very, very responsible for the future of the world. Then you've got the people in our country that refuse to get jobs and depend entirely on the forced extraction of wealth from working Americans. Then you've got the millions and millions of people who work in the government, don't provide any value, but are paid off your tax dollars. So how many Americans are actually keeping like billions of people afloat? So if the tax base of America, not including people in the government, not including school teachers, not including anybody paid by the government, not including anybody that gets benefits. So, I mean, what would that's like? So like, I would be interested to do the math here. It's probably something like 20 million, mostly white Americans pay for 2 or 3 billion people to exist in the world. Billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars stripped away from us. Our hard work, our dedication, our ideas, our inventions just sucked away like a giant vacuum. To feed not just the countries overseas and the warmongers desperate to expand their own land, not just the government employees here in America, but also the millions and millions of people like this that you're about to see who refuse to do anything productive for anybody ever and will instead spend generation after generation simply demanding that you pay for their lives. And it's like, just imagine if we got to keep all that money. Just imagine if all of our work and all of our effort, all of our blood, sweat, and tears benefited us rather than everybody who hates us and feels entitled to the value of our work. You know, you see images of China making the, you know, the cities in China were neon everywhere and the new train stations they're building. And it's just like unbelievably nice. And people are like, why can't we have that here? It's like, here's why. Because we're being robbed from 1,000 different angles. What do you think? You think we don't have more money than China? You think we don't have the people or the skills of China? It's like, what? No, it's because we're robbed continuously. And every day you go into work, you work for the first three quarters of the day for some, you know, narcissistic scumbag in a ghetto somewhere who thinks you owe him, who thinks he deserves your money for your work. Or Somalia, who's just sending their excess population here to make everything worse for everybody. Let's go to the compilation.
Trump has cut my food stamps from $2,800 down to $350.
Is everybody getting thousands of dollars from the government?
I used to get $740 a month.
This is what I don't understand. Am I the only one not receiving checks from the government? Is everybody else getting paid thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars from the government for not working? Here I am busting my ass day in and day out, and I get less. Let's go back to the idiot parasites.
And that was just with four children.
Four children.
To zero. Now, how the f*** am I going to feed my children?
How the f*** am I supposed to afford groceries? What is this pumpkin man doing, bro? Why the f*** we got to starve on Thanksgiving? Are you dead-ass, pumpkin man?
What the f*** do you mean that I'm not going to get my f***ing SNAP benefits? What the f***?
You're gonna tell me that my daughter doesn't deserve a popsicle? You're gonna tell me I don't deserve to get brownies?
I don't know about the rest of you motherfuckers, but I'm getting my shit. Cause I'm gonna tell you just like this on Jesus Lamar motherfucking Christ. I will be at motherfucking Walmart with my steel toes on and my motherfucking helmet, and I dare a bitch try to stop me from walking out that motherfucking
Is there a gun anywhere around here?
Baby, I'm 250 pounds solid.
I am going to go in that store, get everything I get regularly. I'm going to bag my shit up, swipe my link card. As soon as that bitch say, ain't no pendant balance on there, I'm going to walk the fuck out.
If I don't receive my benefits this month, the food stamps, I feel bad for the motherfucking shop, right?
I think we need work camps. I think we need work camps.
People ran out of stores.
I think work will make
with
you
the cart.
Free. I think we need concentration camps, actually.
Ham,
the more I watch these videos, the more I want to see chain gangs up and down the highway.
I'm going to be stealing like it ain't no tomorrow.
We going to loot. We going to get fucking crazy, right, TikTok? You feel me?
If you got to take that food, go ahead and take it. Just go ahead and take it.
Y'all better stay the fuck out of my way in these stores. I'm walking out with carts and I'm not paying for shit.
Either you're gonna give us food or we're gonna take that bitch.
This is what Americans, taxpayer, work for us. They work for me.
Now they're telling me I have to go work. Now I have to go do all this. Well, I literally got five kids. I'm trying to sit here and spend time with them. I'm not trying to go work, you know, 50, 60 hours a week so I can pay bills.
Don't be quitters now. Y'all been helping us all this f***ing time. Now y'all want to tap out. Get the f*** out of here. I want my EBT, yo.
I want my money back.
And I'm not working for nobody.
I want my money back. I want all of these people chained together, breaking rocks for $5 an hour until they pay back every dime they've ever been given.
If you see somebody walking out, just
I want reparations.
Like, ain't no time. There's not time. Be trying to
I demand reparations for the white American taxpayers that have been robbed relentlessly for the last several decades. I want every single one of these people working to the bone to pay back what they've stolen from me. I mean, just think about it. It's what we've been saying forever. The current system is set up to make you an idiot for doing the right thing. You get a job, you refuse to be a parasite, you refuse to be a tick on the ass of society, you're an idiot. You could be making more money by being a fat idiot living off the government than getting a job.
Or leaving the ATM or the bank.
I'm going back to stealing. I don't care. If you leave your car unlocked in the middle of the night,
it just
lock
goes
it,
on
bitch.
And on,
cause if
it?
I don't get no food stamps, best believe me and mine's gonna eat regardless.
I need my
imagine this
EBT,
multiplied
yo.
By 200 million.
I need my money, yo.
How many people in America are living off the dole?
EBT.
Folks, I have a meeting with my wife once a week to make sure we're not going over budget. I'm trying to do side gigs. We're just trying to keep it together. I'm never taking a dime from the government, and they take like half my paycheck every time. for these ungrateful scum to live off of. I don't even know what to say. It's like, yeah, we got to do something about this. We got to do something about this. I won't say what I would like to be done to all those people. Oh, you thought I was going to turn the gun on me? That's interesting. I'm not mad at me. I'm not the one making those videos. I wasn't talking about the gun for that. You got the wrong idea, buddy. We'll be right back with your calls. Don't go anywhere.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug that Irish CMOS was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the CMOS because it's a thyroid issue, and the CMOS has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. It's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. That I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it, and it has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's good, right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones Fisher is on like my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in, this person, you're paying them. But like, no, our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to like the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones until I found him. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid. So, your life's going great.
Yes.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it like happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, it's not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize it until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish Sea Moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is, nope, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome Welcome back, folks. This is the War Room. Final segment. We'll go out to your phone calls here momentarily. If you do want to support people that actually work hard and don't feel entitled to your money, but rather greatly appreciate any contribution you can make, please do go to thealexjonesstore.com. And we'll continue to operate into the future however long you continue to support us, thealexjonesstore.com and thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison. If you want 10% of your purchase go to me. So I can afford a nanny or something. I did want to, you know, talk a little bit about something that Alex has been hammering on recently, and that is the amount of people that have come from InfoWars or that InfoWars first put on the map. And he was talking about this a lot yesterday. Obviously, Savannah Hernandez got her start here, and I remember I still remember she would. I had a different office in another building. She would come in and go, okay, so Israel-Palestine, like, what's up with that? And I'm like, shut the door. We got some talking to do. She's just done absolutely incredible stuff and is now, like, pretty much a warlord. Like, pretty much she directs where the armed men go to clean up the illegal immigrants. Absolutely incredible. Talking about Jack Posobiec buying his first, you know, camera and microphone. Of course, we used to get Candace Owens on back when she was known as Red Pill Black. Nobody even knew her real name. She would come on the InfoWars 3-5 before anybody else, you know, would have her on. I mean, it's really like an infinite number of people, but there's also people that aren't famous necessarily, that don't, you know, have a platform, but have still made major contributions to the InfoWar. Do you know who is the producer of the Hodge Twins? Because he was working a normal job when he was listening to American Journal one day, and he heard me say, go download DaVinci Resolve. And I'm telling you right now, you want to do something? You want to make something? DaVinci Resolve is free software. Download it. Put in videos. Edit them up. Cut them up. Learn a skill. And maybe you'll be producing an extremely popular right-wing podcast one of these days. There's really nothing stopping you. And that's the other thing to understand, is that nobody's going to let you. Nobody's going to, you know, grease the path for you. Somehow it happened for me, but I'm a freak in that way. I don't know how it happened that I ended up with a show on InfoWars by accident, but here we are. I'm just doing my best. But nobody's going to let you. Nobody's going to hold your hand. Nobody's going to pluck you from obscurity to place you on a pedestal, no matter how good your ideas are. If a tree falls in the forest, no one's around to hear it, nobody cares. If you have the best ideas ever, but nobody knows them, what's the point of thinking your thoughts, right? You have to be dynamic. You have to know what you want and go for it. You have to seize it. You cannot wait for somebody else to bring it to you. And I remember, in high school, I would make movies, and one time I got like in a fight with my friends because they were like, well, you know, why do we have to make the movies you want to do? You don't let us make our ideas. And I was like, who lets me? Nobody lets me do anything. I'm just doing it. I get an idea. I want to make a movie. I ask people want to help, and then it gets made. That's just me doing it. And it was this mindset of like, you're not letting us do it. It's like letting us. Letting you? Nobody let me do this. Nobody let me start making content and putting it on InfoWars. Like, you just do it. You just go out and do it, and then nobody can stop you. So don't wait for somebody else to let you do something or to notice you, you know, out of the ether and decide that you're a genius. Go out and do it. Go out and make something. Learn a skill. And hell, if you aren't a person to talk in front of the camera, aren't somebody who wants to be editing video or whatever else, then you can, you know, work a job and, you know, raise a family and spread awareness in your, you know, neighborhood and contribute to the people that are doing this for a living. That's extremely valuable as well. After all, you've got the army fighting, but even more important than the army is the supply line. And you can be a crucial member of that supply line, especially by going to thealexjonesstore.com. But nobody's going to let you do anything, and nobody can stop you from doing anything. So, you know, if this message, which is reaching millions of people right now, could convince one of you to go out on a limb, take a risk, make a difference, then I will have done my job for today. There's a lot of talented people out there. you need to be self-motivated and know that you can make a difference, you can make a change, and your life could be significantly better a year from now if you just put the work in. So I really want to encourage people to do that. And if you want advice, my advice is download some of the free software. You can get it on your phone. You can get it on the computer. DaVinci Resolve is like professional level if you want that. CapCut is another one that's perfectly workable for the mobile phone. If you have a phone, you can be making world-changing content right now. You can take the stuff we make. I'm up here 3 hours a day. Alex is up there 4 hours a day. Brianna's up there 3 hours a day. Take it. Upload it. Make yourself famous and make money off X just uploading clips. Just do it. You just have to do it. No one's going to hold your hand. One very easy and absolutely free way to help us is to go get the new Alex Jones app that's available on Android now. So I believe it's the same website still, alexjonesapp.com. Go to alexjonesapp.com. But if you are a Android user and been waiting for the not Apple exclusive AJN app, it is now available, alexjonesapp.com, and you can get it from the Google Play Store. It's the AJN Live app. So please do download that and share the links, share the content. With that, we got to your phone calls. Thank you so much for holding, everybody. Let's go to Emmett in Seattle on line 3. Emmett in Seattle, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Harrison, man, I'm so proud of you. I'm so happy you're on the weekend now. Or excuse me, later in the day now in the afternoon.
Me too, brother.
Yeah, I used to have to, you know, when I was going to work early in the morning, I'd get a chance to listen to you some. But, and I'm just so happy, too, that you're maintaining perspective and remembering that you're part of something bigger than yourself. And there's one face that I'm surprised I didn't see in that EBT, bitch, but I have my money. And that's Mr. Owen Schroyer. Man, all of the credit that he thought he'd earn himself by going to jail for the little bit of time that he did for the political stunt that he pulled. You know, it used to be something, a point of pride, but now the way that he bitched out on it and then just left you guys in the dust like he thinks he's better than all you, you know, he just completely destroyed any credibility that he had in my eyes anyway. But anyway, I wanted to ask you a question. Sometimes I fixate on some little factoids that you guys put out, and I know that you have done the research that is necessary to, you know, you're not just making stuff up, but the one most recently, you were just talking about it with that comedian gal you had on, is that Israel is supposed to be the world headquarters for this world government. And I'd just be interested to try and find some books on where that claim came from. And I'm just recently becoming exposed to this idea that Israel is supposed to be the world headquarters for the world government. If you could point me in any direction to research that claim further, I'd appreciate that.
Yeah, I mean, that is sort of the basis of the modern Jewish religion, right? If you just ask, you know, a Jewish prayer, like they expect the Messiah to come. And when the Messiah comes, you know, he'll be sort of king of the world and he'll be headquartered in Jerusalem. So that's like very base level, like Christians believe Jesus Christ killed on the cross and rose from the dead. And Jews believe that the Messiah is going to come and they're going to rule the world from Jerusalem. So that's a sort of very basic Judaism, actually, when you actually listen to them. The Controversy of Zion is a very good book that was written in the 50s that includes a lot of information about this. But mostly it's just from my own observation, to be honest with you. It just makes sense. This is a very, very long time plan. Some people think that like the city of London is supposed to be the seat of global government. Maybe that was a plan at some point. But, you know, Israel is the geographic location is very important, right? It's right at the crossroads of every continent except for America, but it's very much at the center of the world. And, that's just what the intention is. That's what the Rothschilds, you know, set out to establish, when they, you know, first started paying for people to, move to Israel in the late 1800s and then got the Balfour Declaration through, the UK and Lord Balfour. So yeah, this is just like a thing, you know, this is just what the plan is. I don't know if I can point you to an exact book that makes that claim. It's more just observing, where all the plans seem to be leading. A Controversy of Zion would be a good place to start. But as far as I can tell, that is just sort of the modern Judaic foundational belief. So thank you so much for the, for the call, Emmett. Yeah, I'm not going to comment on the Owen stuff because, you know, whatever. I wish him the best, but I just don't understand why you would want to leave this incredible facility. But it's a little bit different for me and him. Like I said, like it's like kind of an accident that I'm sitting here right now. Like, Owen wanted to be a talk show host and he was using InfoWars as a vehicle for that. I wanted to work at InfoWars and I happened to end up as a talk show host. So just a little bit different, you know, goals in mind, I guess. And, if something happened and I had to go back to editing for InfoWars, then that's what I would do. So I'm not exactly, you know, trying to be the next Rush Limbaugh or anything. Let's go to, thank you for the call, Emmett. Let's go to Douglas in Georgia. Go ahead, Douglas, you're on the air.
Hey, Harrison.
Howdy.
It's good to talk to you. Watch your show, Alex Jones Network, all the time. You guys
Thanks,
are
sir.
What do you get when you play? You know what you get when you play country music backwards, right?
What?
You get your wife back.
Your truck
you
back,
your
dog
back.
Back.
You get your truck back. You know what you don't get? Your EBT. You don't get your EBT back, yo.
You know, it's not a lot of country songs about going to pick up my check from the government office. It's not exactly something that you're prideful in. Like, I've been in situations where I'm like pawning things to pay rent. Like, I could have been on government assistance for a good portion of my life, but like, I'm too proud. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to let somebody else pay for me. It's like, what am I, a slug? I just don't even get it.
No, not at all. I can't see it. I'm glad that it's coming down. It's
Me too.
Coming down.
Me too, Douglas. I think it's a self-correcting issue if we just stop feeding the people that hate us. Things would be pretty, you know, easily solved, I think. Anything else before we go to the next caller?
Creatine powder is the best quality I've ever seen in my entire life, and I've been using that stuff for a long time. Power Plant, Methyl Drive, Life Force, Nitric Boost, the Moss Gummies, all of it. The turmeric.
You're getting all of it, huh? So you say the ultimate creatine powder is the best creatine you've ever had. What makes it so good?
It's so light and fluffy. It's not granular at all. It mixes really good, and you can't even tell it's in there when you mix it into your drink.
Fantastic. Ultimate creatine powder. Get it for 50% off if you get the bovine colostrum plus. You get any other supplement for 50% off, which I believe includes the ultimate creatine powder. Well, thank you very much, Douglas. I really appreciate everything you said there. Thank you very much. I do appreciate that. I do want to get to other caller shows. Let's go to Andrew in Texas. Wants to talk about New Israel. Go ahead, Andrew, you're on the air. Andrew in Texas. We'll move on. You can keep him on the line in case he comes back. David in Ohio, you're next up. Go ahead.
Hey, Harrison, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
So I think that the reality of the problem is that it's not a Democrat or Republican problem. It's a society problem.
Oh, yeah.
We have major institutional breakdowns at every level. And Trump's not going to solve it.
He could do a lot. He could help a lot. You know, I mean, he's not going to solve it outright, but, you know,
what do you think we need to do? I mean, total breakdown. It's a total breakdown. We got problems in Portland. We got problems in L.A., New York. I mean, they're about ready to fucking, sorry, I apologize, put a communist into office. I mean, what are we going to do? Muslims are taking over Dearborn, Michigan. Call of prayer at every hour.
Five times a day. Yeah. No, it's I completely agree. I mean, we got a lot of work to do. I should have brought that up with Leonardo Joni. She and Alex were talking about the Reconquista. And are you familiar with the Reconquista? The Reconquista was the freeing of Spain from Muslim control. And by the time the Reconquista started, Christian control of Spain had diminished to just like a tiny little state in the very north. 90% of Spain was taken over. It was just that 10% in Andalus, I believe, that decided we're not going to take this anymore. We're going to consolidate and expand. And in about 100 years, Spain was free of Muslim control. So it's never too late. Don't count us out. We're still very powerful. The European culture is still dominant worldwide. Don't be too black-pilled. We got a lot of work ahead of us, and we have to make some major changes. We have to move aggressively. But we're far, far from lost. The game is far from over. It's late in the hour. We're in the final quarter here. We need to be getting serious and putting points on the board, but don't count us out quite yet, David, but I completely agree with what you're saying. Thank you for the call. Let's go to I hear Andrew in Texas made his way back. Andrew, are you there?
Yeah, I made it through.
All right, go ahead.
Man, I just wanted to point out a sentiment that I've been wanting to try and put out there. You know, I would agree with the whole Greater Israel project, bring back Jerusalem, send in the troops to Iran, to Iraq, everywhere. My only problem is it should be New America. It should be Jerusalem. It should be a Christian nation, a Christian ethnostate. We still accept everybody, but I feel like that's the sentiment people need to have. I feel like we send too much over there and give up too much to not have that, to not be ours.
I actually completely agree. I actually completely agree. I mean, I think like who would you want to run the Holy Land? Obviously, the Jews are running it now. It's not going so well. It's not the, you know, a bastion of peace exactly. And if the Muslims control it, I don't see that going very well either. Like, why do we pay endlessly? We spent $23 billion over there. It's like, wouldn't it be cheaper just to take it over? Wouldn't it be cheaper just to make it a 51st state and just have Americans ruling over it? I mean, I joked at one point. We should just give it to the Mormons. I think just give Israel to the Mormons. They can manage it. They can have it. What are they going to do? Mess it up? You know, what's the risk? What, it's going to be a war-torn hellhole? Well, okay. It can't get much worse. I say give it to the Mormons. I'm not even Mormon, but I feel like they could handle it. So yeah, I unironically agree that it's time for a new crusade in the Holy Land. We'll see. Thanks for the call, Andrew. Let's go to Kristen in San Diego. You want to talk about EBT? You know, I'm being a little bit facetious. I actually understand how if you're relying on EBT for your whole life and then it gets taken away, it probably would piss you off a little bit, but it's too much. It's too much for me, but I understand that you want to play devil's advocate here. Go ahead, Kristen. You're on the air.
Yes, I'm sure I'm more of the exception here and not the rule, but I mean, I am on EBT. I'm a single mom of four, and I actually rely on it because my ex doesn't pay our court-ordered child support, so we have to get involved that way. So I've always hated being on it. I actually think they make it easier for people to stay on it and, like, become, reluctant to having to depend on them rather than, if I were to get a job, there was no way that I could pay for healthcare, food and all that and have even a part-time job and take care of kids. Like they put you in this corner. It's awful. I hate it. I think that they should incentivize people and actually pay them to work instead of the opposite, pay them not to work. I think it's totally backwards, but just for all those moms out there that, unfortunately have to rely on this. And, thank God I have a good family and I won't be going without even when I am going to go without. But I mean, it does suck to have to rely on the government. It's the worst thing probably I have to do in my life. So, I mean, just for all those out there that, are in my position.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I appreciate you calling in and sharing that because, obviously you're not one of these people, right? You're not making a TikTok video going, taxpayers work for me because I don't want to get a job, even though I could. It's like, those are the people we're talking about and the people that do it intergenerationally on purpose, But, if you're in an unfortunate position, if you're, through no, fault of your own, forced to take care of four kids and literally can't afford it. Because, I mean, I get that, right? If you're a single parent, first of all, don't even understand how you do that in the first place, let alone you're going to have a job. So then you have to pay for childcare while you're working. So, you're not even going to have money anyway. If you're trying to pay for four kids to go to, you know, preschool or after school daycare, it's like, nah, it's a problem. I mean, I think we should just give women money for being mothers. I think, you know, forget EBT. I think if you're, I think the instant you have a kid, maybe like 3 years, you get like $500 to $1,000 a month. I'd be in favor of that. Married, not married, it doesn't matter. If you're having kids as an American, you know, if we're going to be giving money to anybody, that's who we should be giving it to. I don't think we should be giving money to anybody, but if we are, why not use it for good? Why not actually, you know, incentivize? And maybe it should be, you know, if you're married or if, you know, the father is in the mix, because that's the other thing, right? Is you're rewarded for being irresponsible. You're rewarded for not having a job. You're rewarded for being, you know, a generational dependent. You're rewarded for, you know, having kids that you can't afford. And so people have kids and for the express purpose of getting more money in their EBT check. Like, what if instead you had to get married and then you had a kid and then the government would actually help you because what you're doing is positive and valuable for the society and actually a benefit? And a lot of other countries do that. Israel does that. Finland does that. You know, a lot of other countries do that. If we're going to be giving taxpayer money to Americans, we should be subsidizing good behavior and responsible behavior. So, yeah, I appreciate you calling in. And obviously, you're not the one I'm raging at when I'm, you know, talking about these people that feel entitled to our money. I understand that it can be a burden as well. Thank you for the call, Kristen. I do appreciate that. Let's go to Doreen in Georgia. Doreen, on line 8, you're on the air.
Hi. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Harold, I love your show.
Thank you.
I was calling about a few things. One is I'm first generation American.
Okay.
My grandparents were over in Yugoslavia, and when Tito took over, they took their house, put them in concentration camps, and the only way they can come to the United States, because they had no country, was a church sponsored them. They had to have a place to live, and they had to have jobs.
Right.
Why is it different now? That's point one. Second point is, I worked for a housing authority for lots of years. I would see generation after generation after generation live on public housing. I was walking through the lobby one day, and there was a girl there with like 4 kids. Lady comes through. She goes, "Hi, Grandma." Generation after generation after generation.
Yep.
And then there's the first one to spout slavery. What do they think that is? Wasn't it Lyndon B. Johnson? Isn't he the one that started like welfare and stuff like that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so all they've done is created nothing but a slave mentality. I think if they're going to be on some sort of assistance, it should be for a couple years, get a job, get some training, go to a trade school, and then better yourself. But
yep.
There are people on public housing with 10 kids.
Yep.
10 kids. That's all they do. Baby after baby after baby. And I think the only ones really that should be on, like, assistance. I mean, I agree with that lady who said, you know, she needs her EBT. I understand that. But I think it should really be for veterans, disabled, and elderly.
Right. Or you know, like you said, you know, if you lose your job unexpectedly and, like, you know, maybe like a year you get, you know, some help so you don't lose your house while you're looking for a new job. Like, you know, okay, I can understand sort of moderate. I think you should be responsible and try to avoid that anyway, obviously. But I could understand the argument. It would at least make sense. Like, okay, we're trying to help people get back on their feet. But there have to be requirements for that. You can't just have this intergenerational dependency. I completely agree with you. And then the point about the immigrants coming over. I mean, it didn't used to be immigrants. I've talked about it before. If you read the book Confederacy of Dunces, it takes place in the 60s in New Orleans, and one of the characters has been arrested because he doesn't have a job. He can't show where his income comes from. And so they arrest him and say, "You're going to jail unless you can hold down a job." And they make him go get a job. And if he gets fired, he goes to jail. And it's like, that's how it used to be in the 60s. And you know, my parents' lifetimes, people were arrested for not having jobs. Now people can spend their entire lives just dependent on the system. So yeah, immigrants, same thing with like speaking English. You're supposed to speak English before you can become a citizen. They just don't enforce that crap anymore. We've always had laws on the books saying that immigrants should benefit America. All right, we'll see you tomorrow, folks.
And a back problem that I've had since Alex was born is almost completely gone after 50, however many years. And my hair is much thicker than it has been. And I have good hair anyway, but it's much thicker. And this
It's brand new.
Turn darker.
And darker.
Now, I was out at dinner a few weeks ago after my dad had heart surgery, and my mom and my dad were ranting and raving about how great the bovine colostrum was they got. Last run sold out, but it's now back in stock for only a few days. If you buy it, already discounted, any other supplement, ultramethylene blue, the Shilajit, Ultimate Life Force, they're all 50% off any other supplement when you get the bovine colostrum. It's so incredible. It's back in stock. Here's my parents at dinner.
You've been on colostrum now too much. And we have the very best at theultimateshore.com, and I'm serious. So, Mom, you got to listen. The products are amazing.
Well, this one, like I said, I don't do testimonials. There's a lot of good products, but this is the first one that I can go, whoa, it really.
Can you put that on?
Tell us what happened.
I have been on the colostrum for about 2 or 3 months, and a back problem that I've had since Alex was born is almost completely gone. After 50, however many years. And my hair is much thicker than it has been. And I have good hair anyway, but it's much thicker. And this is brand new.
Turn darker. Yes, ChatGPT, what it's known to do. Upper respiratory tract infections and symptoms reduction. Attenuation of exercise-induced immune suppression. Antiviral and antibacterial effects. Stopping leaky gut. Support for gastrointestinal disorders, which is the whole body. Enhanced recovery and reduced inflammation. Metabolic health, wound healing, and tissue repair. Get your bovine colostrum back in stock at theyellowstonestore.com. And it funds the Second American Revolution worldwide.